is on. The three best friends you never knew you had, running through the most viral stories of the day. The news junkie Sean Wasson with Sabrina and C-Lane.
It's the news junkie for a Wednesday, May 16th, 2017. Lots to get to today, from the worst yearbook of all time to a news anchor talking about the hair down there and a grandma who makes headlines, plus your calls, dispatches, emails, texts, and more. Hey there, Sabrina.
Happy hump day.
Hello, C-Lane.
Good morning.
Lots to get to, as I said. The problem is, I made a mistake this morning that I don't think I've ever made in the history of this show.
You didn't wear underwear.
And I got underwear on. A clean pair of underwear. I'm ready to go. I got ready this morning like I do every single day. There's a ritual to all this stuff.
Good morning, world. I'm going to chug this juice and look out the window naked.
Oh, man. I woke up even earlier than normal. I was refreshed. I was ready. Good night's sleep. And then got all the extra show prep done this morning, and I didn't bring a single story with me.
Mm-hmm.
I left everything on my printer, and I go, oh, I don't know that I've done that before. I don't know that I've made that mistake before. So we'll get through it today, somehow, some way, and need your help on the dispatches. I got all the stories. I'm totally ready to go. I just didn't bring my printout.
Did you memorize them?
I memorized every single story from today.
Let's do it.
So there will be zero factual errors at all. It'll just be perfect. Oh, good God. God forbid there's a sports story today. That will be a disaster. I'm going to go, there's a football team.
Sports, baby.
This is happening. You know what? I thought about this story that I was reading this morning as I went into the office. You know, also running behind today. What a catastrophic start here. I-4 is a disaster right now.
Nightmare.
All of us on the way here just stuck in a parking lot. And then you get to the end, and I hate to say this, but I think this is a natural human reaction. I was disappointed. I got to the end, and I go, oh,
well.
An 18-wheeler broke down and they're towing it? Come on.
Well, did it break down or was there a crash and they had already towed one of the vehicles involved and it's a lot harder to tow an 18-wheeler, so it took some time.
I was looking for a car fire, as the traffic folks will call it, a carbecue from time to time.
Oh, gosh.
I was looking for one of those, something that was a payoff.
I took an Uber into work today and I had the driver. He was one of those, like, I was going to tell him to go around and go a different way.
Uh-huh.
But some drivers are really open to that, and they tell you at the beginning, if you have a better way than the GPS, let me know, and I'll do whatever you want. And then some drivers are like, wait, you want me to U-turn?
I got to follow this
stream. Are you sure you want me to U-turn?
Yeah.
You want me to U-turn now? And I'm yes, U-turn! What he ended up doing was, and I couldn't tell if he was just, like, upset that the traffic was so bad, but once he got past that truck, homie hauled all of the ass.
This is one of the most fun things in the world, and sometimes I'm alone on things. Maybe I'm alone on this, but you know what I love more than anything? It's the small joys in life. You know when you're going on the turnpike and you go through a toll, and then when you go out of the toll, there's really nobody there and there's no lanes or anything?
Oh, yeah. It's a free-for-all.
It's a free-for-all, and it's like Wild Wild West style, and you're like a race car headed, and you drive as fast as you want, and then you just end up in a lane. That's how it is after you have one of those big backups like we have today on I-4. But the payoff wasn't great, at least for me. I just saw a big old semi.
Now, define payoff. Do you want to see someone who is dead on the road?
Something needs to be on fire. I want everybody to be okay. But I want to see maybe a car flipped over, some sort of...
With all the people living.
No, everybody, yeah, everybody survived, and then just there was some damage, so I get something interesting to look at, and I go, all right, okay, that makes sense to make us all late today. So then I go into the office, and I think about this story, as I was saying, that I was reading this morning, and I thought, would this be annoying, or would it be kind of a refreshing thing? And I think I'm settling on annoying. Because more and more offices around the country are changing everything. They're changing the way they operate. They're changing the way they deal with employees. And they're evolving. But this is a weird evolution to something they call free-range employees. And what they mean is each day you go to work and there's all of these desks and cubicles and offices. You don't have an assigned one.
Oh, yes. I've heard of that.
And so each day you go in and you just sit wherever you can or where you want. If you're late, you're going to get a worse spot than if you were there early. I feel like that would lead to some real problems
Not if everyone's on board.
Nobody. You're never going to get everybody on board with that.
Well, they would have to be on board to accept the job. I imagine that's something they say during the interview process or hiring process. Now, it'd be a problem for me because of the socially acceptable hoarding that I do. I'm like, but where am I going to put this prosthetic leg? Well, that's carry it into work every day?
That's another thing. You don't get to have anything that makes the desk yours, which is kind of fun. I always thought you have like a couple of things. I mean, I don't have too many on my desk, but around my desk, there's things. And I go, this is like my area over here. You don't get to do that. Everybody has the same very kind of washed out office, and you change it up every single day. I don't think that I would like this, and more employees are having to deal with this. There's a big real estate firm called CBRE in Dallas, Texas, and they now have this. It's unassigned workstations, and they've been doing this since 2010. They say it's for collaboration amongst employees. But it'll end up just like the lunchroom. You're going to have clicks, and somebody goes, that's my spot, even though nobody really has a spot.
Yeah, well, you would hope everyone's kind of an adult about it. I like the idea. I think that it is very intimidating and depressing when you walk into an office building and all you see is cubicles. And then just like foreheads every once in a while when they pop up.
Uh-huh.
I like the idea everything's open. I mean,
But this has cubicles. It has like little, remember our old desks, how they were like just the high-walled cubicles? It has those. You just pick a new one every single day.
Right. It's like first come, first serve.
Yeah. It's not even like the idea that you have like a big table, you know, and everybody sits down wherever. Everybody has their own workstation. Hang on. Here, more details right here.
Good morning, Katie. That is exactly right. This is their office right here. I want to tell you now, this is not your grandparents' office. Heck, it's not even your parents' office. This is the future. And this is one of those unassigned workstations. They're all over the place. And it really looks like any other place or office or desk that you would use as everything you need to get a day's work done. But here's the thing. Throughout the course of the day, you could work here or there or across there or around the way.
Over here.
In a cafe or in a patio right here.
Top of a box with a fox.
Currently, this office is about 50% unassigned. In the next 5 years, they expect to almost be completely unassigned.
Even the closed off offices, like an office with a door on it, those are unassigned. And you go, oh, I've got a big deal to close. I've got a meeting today. And you reserve on like a clipboard the office for the day, and then you go right back to just going wherever you can after that. I think this could lead to just total chaos. People go in every day and they're like, no, I like that spot by the window. No, I want this one. I want that one.
Okay, but be honest. I mean, that sounds like a high school or elementary school situation. Do you see yourself, let's say that was our situation?
Yeah.
You, Sean Watson, saying, well, I like that desk.
I don't see myself saying that, but you know how groups of people are. We're all still middle schoolers. Everybody kind of continues on that way through the rest of your life. It's like going down to the sales floor in this building. You don't think there's drama amongst the people about where they're sitting and where their cubicles are? Of course there is. These free-range employees, they're also treating us like animals. Like you're a free-range employee, like a free-range chicken or something.
Now, this is a trend that we expect to see in a great way throughout the course of business in the near future. That study actually found that 52% of corporate decision makers plan a move to unassigned seating within the next 3 years.
See, that's a lot. I mean, 52% of businesses are going to start doing this. And I wonder what people think overall. Like, are people excited? Oh, I don't know. I'll meet new people. I'll be around new people who I might not necessarily be around.
I mean, if 52% of businesses are interested in doing it, then the research must show that it's working.
Yeah, the problem is when you change the structure of businesses, sometimes it could be a colossal disaster. Now, this isn't as big of a change. I remember one time, there was, if you guys ever seen that show, Undercover Boss, like the stupid reality show, there was one that they did where the company goes, we want to be more open and honest about things. And so they put up a thing that shared all of the employees' salaries. And they were like, all right, we're going to change the way business operates. Here's what everybody's making right now. Chaos. Just total chaos. As people started, wait, he makes that? She makes that, they make this, and went over and it just messed the whole business up.
I would love to see those numbers here in this building.
If you did that, absolute catastrophe.
Like, I could probably pay my rent and at least one person's paycheck here in the building.
If you saw that, it would not make anything better, I don't think. And we'll see if this ends up working, if people get into this. And I'm okay with some of the open seating stuff that they do where it's just like one big long table. But I think there's a reason why we have spaces in our own spaces. Humans naturally want that. You want your little area. You want your place where you can feel like you could do your things. And so your thoughts on the dispatches as to what you think about this when we come back.
I feel like these jobs that do this are a lot of, like you said, like, oh, the corner offices you reserve when you have a big client in town.
Uh-huh.
I feel like these are for people who don't necessarily show up to work every day.
Yeah.
Or go into the office every day. You mostly work from home and go, all right, well, when I need to meet with somebody, I'll go into the office for a little bit and show my face so people still remember that I work here.
Well, that's a newer thing, too, and there's a lot of that going on.
We know somebody very well who...
There's lots of people who do that, who they'll go into the office maybe once or twice a week. All the bosses want is for them to get the job done. It's about what the best way is to do it. When we come back, a PGA golfer under attack for his performance on the course. The details, what happened here, and your dispatch is next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Pressure becoming too much?
We'll never be able to afford another SUV if you don't get that raise.
Call now, toll free, 888-978-1041.
Real Radio, 104.1.
Documenting and contributing to the decline in American culture. This is the News Junkie.
Way up, way up we go. Been up and down that road. Way up, way up below. We gon' burn the whole house down. Watch me stand in the line.
You know when I say that this is a weird story, that is definitely a weird story? Hang on for this. In just a moment, I'll get to that story. Quickly, a PGA golfer who is Lewis Glover. The guy's, I guess, pretty good. I don't know about him, but he's a U.S. Open champion. Just because I don't know a golfer's name doesn't mean a damn thing. I only know some of the major players out there.
Name some.
Some of them being Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson. I end right around there.
John Daly,
is he still playing? I guess he's still out there. John Daly's the one who will smoke out on the course and take a golf cart around.
Like a cool guy.
When everybody else is walking. He's like a fat dude out there driving a golf cart around. Lucas Glover is out there amongst the field and doing his thing. But when he's not doing his thing on the golf course well, his wife gets pretty pissed off about things. They said that his wife is facing a domestic violence charge following a reported fight with a golfer and his mother after the third round of the Players' Championship in Florida. According to the police report, Glover and his wife, Krista, got into some sort of altercation after the third round of the Players' Championship in Florida, where he shot a 78. He told deputies, when he plays a bad round of golf, Krista proceeds to start an altercation with him, telling him how he's a loser and a pussy, how he needs to fire everyone, and how he better win or her and the kids are going to leave him and he'd never see the kids again. Well, no pressure out there on the course. If you don't win, you're never going to see me or the kids again. And so she decided to start yet another fight with him, which led to her arrest. More details here.
The wife of a former U.S. Open championship winner faces battery and resisting arrest charges. Krista Glover is accused of beating her husband, pro golfer Lucas Glover, in Ponte Vedra Beach. Now, according to the Miami Herald, Lucas told deputies that she gets violent every time he doesn't play well in a major PGA tournament.
Good God.
In a tweet, Lucas said that this stemmed from an argument between his mother and Krista. He says everyone is fine, and he's confident his wife will be cleared.
He's going to stick with her. She sounds like a total pain in the ass.
It sounds like she attacked the mother, too.
Yeah, I guess while he's out on the course, she's attacking the mom.
Old Mother Glover.
She's like, you made this crappy son, and he can't hit the golf ball for the life of him.
Here's what I want to know. What does she do when he wins the golf tournament.
Oh, you know.
Is that response worth sticking around to get my ass beat when I'm not doing it very well?
It sounds like a manic thing.
Like if he wins, is it just the most epic heavenly mop?
I don't know. They don't mention.
Just makes me forget about all those ass whoopings I got earlier this year.
Either that or he really, really loves her. Glover's wife fought against being put into the backseat of a patrol car and damaged the door by repeatedly kicking it. Wait until the PGA Tour hears about this, she yelled. You're going to lose your job. This is why cops get shot in the face. Wait till I talk with the judge. You will be effing fired over all of this.
You know, this could have been easily avoided had they had a child, and then she could have just helicoptered over.
Wow.
That kid.
I feel bad for the kid. That's a lot of pressure out there.
People say.
Oh, they do have kids. It was in front of two of them.
They have two children. That's why she said, if you don't do good out there, I'm going to leave with the kids and you'll never see them again.
People tend to, when they run out of things to say in a fight, just grasp at straws or just kind of pull things out of thin air. This is why cops get shot in the face.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
Man. She's just screaming at anybody around her, saying the meanest things possible, I think.
You see the statement he made using, like, iOS notes?
No. What is that? Like, where people do, like, a longer note and do a screenshot?
Yeah, he tweeted, on May 12th, my wife and mother were involved in an argument to which the police were called. Everyone is fine, regrettably, although Krista was charged. We are comfortable that the judicial system is able to address what actually happened, and Krista will be cleared in this private matter.
Yeah. Could you imagine if we all went home at the end of the day and if it was a bad show that, like, if the radio show goes well, all's good. But then if it's just the foot tapping, waiting for you to come home.
Yep. Then we would be hanging out here much longer. Hey, Phillips File, you guys need anything printed out?
Do anything you can to just stick around the iHeartRadio offices for a little bit longer. He actually missed the next round of golf going over there and dealing with that. Here's Dan T with the very first ever dispatch.
Hey, news junkies.
Hey.
Dan T here. First time dispatch. Love listening to you. Good show.
Thank you.
It's fun to laugh when you're driving down the road watching all the stupid people. Have a good day.
Oh.
There you go. Dan T is on board. Good first dispatch, Dan. Keep them coming. We'll go over to Nova.
What's going on, junkies? Happy hump day.
You too.
Hey, I just had to respond to, I guess, one of the dispatches yesterday mentioned about that Snoop Dogg commercial on the iHeart Radio.
Oh, God.
Yeah, me and my girl have been laughing about that damn commercial for a few days now. And lo and behold, last night we're watching TV and we saw a damn commercial for it. Oh,
it's
my
real?
God. You gotta check it
What's
out.
What's happening
y'all
with this?
Die laughing. But other than that, hope y'all have a good day. Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
Can we pull this up?
Yes. It's, what was it? Is it hair loss or erectile dysfunction?
I don't know. Something with Snoop Dogg that people keep dispatching about.
Okay, so I'll just put both. Erectile dysfunction, hair loss.
Yeah, I have no idea what this is, but people are reacting to it. Does that mean it means it's a great commercial, right? But I would imagine people seem to be laughing about it, enjoying themselves.
The only thing that's coming up from April... late April, is that Snoop opens up about his ED and takes Hims vitamins.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure I've seen this video and he curses a lot, so I can't play it.
Well, we'll have to figure out what's going on with this
one. I will do the digging.
All right, see if you can find the actual audio. Here's Ball Death Dealer.
Hey, news junkies. Hey. I was catching up on yesterday's show a bit. I missed the first half. But when you were talking about names, so my father's side of the family had a thing for naming the males after American generals. So my father's name was MacArthur. I have an uncle
First
that's
name?
Ulysses. I have a couple other ones I can't recall off the top of my head. But he had wanted to name me Washington. But that was quickly done away with. Although on my father's side, I'm still known as Washington.
Huh.
So, yeah. Later.
Well, at least it's not Alexa, because that was a story yesterday that is really faded in popularity. Bunch of people commenting on this idea in some of these news stories that are coming out this week of free range employees, where you go into the office every single day and you pick whatever seat you want and it's just willy nilly. And everybody gets like the same kind of setup, but you move around to a different spot. Here is Deland Nomad with a dispatch.
I was calling in or dispatching in about the free space deal in the office.
Uh-huh.
You're right, Sean. It's going to cause chaos. you know, as petty as it sounds and high school-ish, I worked at some call centers in the past. And, yeah, they definitely, people are, they will come in every single day to get people that one human spot and just claim it as if it's their spot when it's really not. So, yeah, you're 100% correct on that. Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
Yeah, people do that on buses and trains, all kinds of weird stuff. That's why you have assigned seating on most things, because it keeps the chaos out of the situation. Did you find this Snoop Dogg thing?
I found the TV commercial. I'm working on the radio one, but right, this is 1,000% legitimate, and I am so excited.
So it's really Snoop Dogg.
Mm-hmm.
And is he talking about ED stuff or hair loss stuff?
He's talking about this men's health, I don't know, supplement called Hims. And I remember him talking about it on his story, but I guess they caught on to it and actually gave him... Do you get the endorsement or you're giving the endorsement? He is now endorsing the product.
Yeah, I mean, they must have hunted him down.
Sure. Say what, it's the boy Big Snoop D-O-double-G, and I got a very special message to the players. I want you all to go to ForHims.com, the wellness brand for men. They got a one-stop shop for your hair, your skin, and even for your hello. Thanks to science, wellness can be optional. They got this $5 offer that hooks you up and comes right to your crib. Don't meet me there, beat me there, and head over to ForHims.com. Peace, player.
Man, they got
to
be
growing already.
Paying out the ass for that.
I see your hair growing already.
Yeah, I just never thought. I've never looked at Snoop Dogg and gone like that guy. He's always got a full head of hair. But I guess they have all kinds of stuff over there.
Fun.
He's pushing the whole thing. Here's Mumbles.
If we all sat at different desks every day, there'd be an issue with germs, and you'd have to clean the desks every day. No, I like my space. I clean my space. My space.
My space.
Thank you, baby. I love you.
I love you too.
You too, sweetie.
Mm. Aww. Okay. I said all before I heard the tongue.
What happened there? All right. Thank you, Mumbles. Yeah, they have at each one of the desks, when they have an office that is an open range employee office where you sit wherever you want each day, at each desk they have like a little Purell thing for that exact reason. So you can clean yourself, clean your hands, and do that and make sure you're all ready to go. You're ready for this, because this is a weird story. A weird story. I'm going to deliver on that. Gregory St. Andre, he's 37 years old. He's charged with two counts of third-degree criminal sexual conduct after he was found to be the father of his daughter's child.
Okay.
All right? They found out that this guy was the father of his own daughter's child, so it's an incest situation that's going on. Wait till you hear the excuse that this guy gives as to how his daughter got pregnant. How'd your daughter get pregnant with your own child? This is real life, what you're about to hear. This is a true story, and it's happening in Michigan. Listen to the details. Here you go.
She has a son by the defendant. What is she supposed to do?
Accused of sexually abusing his daughter, who is now 20 years old, and getting her pregnant.
It's just madness. It's tearing our whole family apart.
Arraigned on two counts of third-degree criminal sexual conduct, incest, 37-year-old Gregory St. Andre faces a judge in Mount Clemens.
So this guy's in jail now for fathering a child with his own daughter, who's 20 years old, to tearing the whole family apart. And the police say that he's got an excuse for all of this.
Your Honor, we acknowledge receipt of the information. The witness list will waive formal reading, and my client will stand mute as to the charges.
Warren police say the mother of St. Andre's daughter came to Warren police in February after the 20-year-old gave birth to a baby boy. But St. Andre's family says they suspected abuse long before.
We've been through this for years. It started years ago.
St. Andre's wife, who is filing for divorce, says she and other relatives suspected abuse for over 5 years.
Yeah, I hope the wife would file for divorce when you find out that your husband is having sex with his daughter and has fathered a child with his own daughter.
Yeah, question. If you suspected it, why not say something or figure it out after year one?
Well, it wasn't even just her. They said, like, the whole family suspected that something was going on here. Stay tuned for his excuse.
Unable to get the attention of law enforcement and unable to get her daughter to discuss it.
She's very embarrassed, confused, angry.
Of course.
Warren police say originally St. Andre said he never had intercourse with his daughter, that he gave her a cup of his semen, and he, quote, doesn't know what she did with it. Police say text messages between the two.
That's what his excuse is. He said, I didn't father a child with her. I didn't have sex with my daughter. I gave her a cup with my semen. How am I supposed to know what she did with it?
Come on. Obviously, she's the one being irresponsible. That is the craziest excuse. Okay, why did you do that?
Well, don't ask questions. He just gave his daughter, as any normal father would do, a cup of his semen.
That is the cocaine flu inside my window defense.
I put food on the table, a roof over her head, and a cup of semen.
Yeah, I just gave her a cup of semen. How am I supposed to know what she does?
Big volumes.
This is a horrible, horrible thing that's happened.
Of course.
The woman's family says a no-contact order against St. Andre has been useless. St. Andre calling her his daughter's boyfriend and messaging her through social media.
The defendant having contact with her, again, is just absolutely inexcusable.
In Your Honor, my client, quite frankly, is prepared to plead guilty that he did attempt to communicate her through Snapchat while on bond.
He's Snapchatting his daughter when they say no communication. Maybe he just wants to hand her another cup. Just in case you want some more,
ew.
Here you go. Get the turkey baster ready and get working. Wow, man. What a world. And this guy seems totally nonchalant about the fact that he's up on incest charges and that he got his daughter pregnant. So just take a moment right now on this lovely day here in Florida and think about how much better you have it than some of these other people out there. You probably think you have a lot of drama in your life and you got some really weird things going on behind the scenes and that uncle who's a little off and your sister might be doing that. No, you got nothing on some of these other families out there, including this one, where a 37-year-old man is charged with two counts of third-degree criminal sexual conduct when he was found out to be the father of his daughter's child. And don't worry, there wasn't any intercourse going on, he assures everybody. He just handed her a cup. God only knows what she did with it after that. That is bizarre. Back in just a moment, it's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
The phone system is a fickle beast, but he'll still take your calls. You're listening to the News Junkie.
Well, check out your dispatcher for the News Junkie app in just a second. You can send yours in. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store. Download the app. Get all set up and ready to go. Now, most people, when they get an Amber Alert or see an Amber Alert, I think just kind of glance at it real quick and they go, all right, look around. You know, am I anywhere near where this is supposed to be? A lot of people, I think, just completely ignore them. Even when your phone goes off, there was one just the other day where it was like that auto ring slash vibrate thing where your phone goes nuts with an Amber Alert. I'll look down and I'll go, is there anything I could do about this? If this is miles away and I have no idea what neighborhood this is in, what am I going to do with this information? And then there are people who take Amber Alerts very, very seriously. And this guy takes them so seriously that he's now facing charges of his own. And this is a man in Missouri named Matthew Golden who's facing charges after being accused of opening fire on a man he thought was a suspect in an Amber Alert.
Okay.
So Matthew Golden is driving down the road. Amber Alert goes out. The notification was for two missing children from Toronto, Iowa. There's nothing about this vehicle that would make you think it's the Amber Alert vehicle, says the local police chief. The car described that in the information that he had was a 2006 Hyundai Sonata with Illinois license plates. The vehicle that he shot up was a white panel van with Florida license plates.
Okay.
Checking zero of the boxes off on the Amber Alert.
Now, where was this confrontation? Because if I hear that he was just like looking out in the road and of all the cars passing him, he's like, that's it. There we go. Time to get the gun out.
I mean, they're just driving down the interstate as this is going on. He sees the Amber Alert and then he guns up and he goes, all right, we're going to fix this thing. They said he was just hoping that it was the right vehicle. That's not how you do this. We can't find where this would have been justified or anything about the vehicle that fit the description of the Amber Alert. So, of course, police want to talk to him, and they find two handguns and 15 grams of marijuana inside his SUV.
15?
They said they did not think that he was under the influence. They just thought that he was reacting in a bizarre way to, and it gets worse in a second here, to the Amber Alert that he'd received and just started shooting up another vehicle that was completely unrelated. Reports show before Golden was arrested, he stripped down to his underwear. However, officials are unsure of the reason behind his action. So he's in jail now on a $23,000 bond.
Well, there's that.
Now, focus on the Amber Alerts. Try to help out with that stuff. Don't just shoot up random cars.
Did you see the story about the Amber Alert that we all received?
No, the one just the other day?
Yeah, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, but I was looking at the story and they had a composite of the child that was missing.
The alert itself?
Yeah, I'm like, okay, well, that's really weird. Why wouldn't they have a picture for it? It's because somebody witnessed what they thought was a kidnapping.
Okay.
Now, the young girl was in what looked like a school uniform, green polo shirt, khaki pants.
And they just saw somebody snag her or something?
They saw a car drive by, grab the girl by the hair, and off, right? So they asked the schools and the surrounding schools, said they don't have anybody missing. There have been no missing reports, but they obviously put the Amber Alert out and the news is covering it. And I'm like, if nobody is saying that this girl is missing, then did she just get in big ass trouble with her mom and just like grabbed her out of the car and then that's it. She's grounded for the next 2 weeks.
Drives by, yanks her by the hair. This is a very similar story to what happened just a few weeks ago. There was a viral video going around of some old man, and he was duct taping a kid by the hands, but like hog tying, but with duct tape. And he put him in the trunk of a vehicle and drove away. And somebody goes, hey, I just saw this happen. I don't know what's going on here. This looks really bad. Video goes viral. Everybody shares it out there. Turns out it's some kid with pretty severe learning disabilities who was acting up, and that was his father who did that.
I don't know if that's the best way to go about it.
Yeah, the police had a talk with that gentleman. Man, there's a lot of weird stuff you see out there. And when you see Amber Alerts, just don't react that way. It's a little bit too much. Here is Tater Boy with a dispatch.
What up, News Junkie crew? Hey. Sean, lovely Sabrina, C-Lane, big up.
Yep.
Hey, guys. All this crappy news I've been getting with my health. Wasn't my back. Turns out my hip bone is dying and decaying away, and that's what's causing all this damn pain, and I have to eat all these friggin' pills.
What's it connected to?
So, got my medical marijuana thing and went for a ride after having some medicine.
Poor thing.
Just thinking about stuff, and I pull into the Dollar General, and I see a black Nissan with an Orlando City sticker on it.
What up?
And oh my God, there's three News Junkie magnets on the back.
Oh,
I turned to. I know I got greedy, but I was so damn happy. I went home screaming in the door to tell my wife how happy I was, and she looked at me like I was a friggin' idiot. I don't care. I love it.
Yeah, that happens a lot with Game of Magnets. When you share it with somebody who doesn't know about the show, they go, wait, what'd you do? Mm-hmm. You're telling it. What you just told me sounds a lot like a crime. Like a robbery that took place.
Oh, you remember the story I had about my neighbor, my poor neighbor.
Uh-huh.
I had given him the magnet. Now, he was aware that I was on the show, but did not know about Game of Magnets.
Right.
So he has a Jeep, and his doors don't exist, like a cool Jeep guy.
Yeah.
And he watched in the rearview mirror as a gentleman behind him sent his 8-year-old daughter out to take his magnet. And he's like, that's theft right there. I'm like, oh my God, Dave. I forgot to tell you. They're going to steal it. Here's 5 more.
Maybe we should put something on the magnets about Game of Magnets that makes that clear. Somebody new to it would just go, I've got this fantastic News Junkie magnet.
Well, I mean, there are a handful of them that say steal me.
That's true. I mean, those are a little more clear, but I can see how some people might not understand Game of Magnets and be a bit taken aback. Here's Annie Laughs a Lot with the very first dispatch.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Annie Laughs a Lot here. Calling about the seating and office thing. I don't like that idea. If I had to come in every day, 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, I want to have my own desk. I'm a nester. I like to put pictures up.
Yeah.
Maybe a little plant.
Personalize.
I just like my space. However, I did work for a place that I didn't have to come in every day, and it was free seating, mostly free seating. And that was okay, I guess, yeah. But as far as 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, I want my spot, and I don't want anybody touching it. And by the way, what's with the 100% rain, chance of rain? There's no rain.
Not yet.
Where's the rain?
Man, one of the worst jobs out there has to be meteorologist, because you never really get any applause unless you're doing your sleeves rolled up and the hurricane's headed in and you're out. Then you get that moment of glory. And that's why people do that stuff, because otherwise people go, hey, it said it was going to rain and now it's not. Or you said 70% chance of rain and this, that. Well, Annie, I'm with you. This whole idea of free range employees and news stories about how you go into work each day and just pick whatever seat you want, it's ripe for a chaotic situation. And territorial stuff comes up. Everybody needs their space. Here is ex-soldier.
About the desks and all that stuff, yeah, it's pointless. Everyone needs personal space. That's how issues happen in the workplace. You want your employees to be comfortable, not stressed out because they feel like they have to get to work early in order to get the specific desk that they want. And most people who have OCD, which most of the time are the best employees, they need to have a rhythm, and they can't change up their routine. It just doesn't work that way.
Where's my stuff?
Yeah, I think it's stupid. Hey, let's play musical desks. Ex-soldier out.
All right, thank you, ex-soldier. Here's Jiggy Piggy with a dispatch.
Hello, news junkies. Heard you guys needed some help with the news today because Sean forgot all your stories.
I got some stuff. I'm ready to go.
What an amateur. Well, I got one question for you guys. Are you a Laurel or are you a Yammy?
Oh, my God.
Let the debate begin.
I didn't want to get near this today. Honest to God, have you guys seen this whole stupid thing?
Of course I've seen it.
I saw a tweet about it. What is it?
It's like the latest What Color Is the Dress?
Right, but it's the audio version.
But it's audio.
But I have to tell you, it is bizarre. This one's kind of shaking me a little bit more than the color of the dress, because I saw both with the dress.
Yeah.
You know, eventually it changes me. I cannot. I am hearing one thing, and then half of the world is hearing something else.
Laurel.
Oh my God, I just...
Laurel.
I just hear Laurel, right?
Okay, but that's the first time I've heard Laurel. I've been hearing Yammy all morning.
Wait, you heard the other one? I never heard the other one. You heard it the different way?
Laurel.
Yes.
Laurel.
How is there a Yammy in there?
That's supposed to be Yammy?
Yeah. All I hear is Laurel just as loud as day, but they're saying some people listen to this and hear Yammy.
Laurel.
Yeah. Oh, God. That is everywhere. Everywhere.
Why don't we come up with stuff like that?
Somebody must have found... Like, how does that become a thing? Is somebody on the dictionary.com listing figuring out how to say Laurel? And then they go, why is it saying Yanny on the Laurel page? How else do we get to this conclusion where people say half the people who hear this hear Yanny and half the people hear Laurel?
Laurel.
Laurel is what I hear.
Laurel.
If you hear Yanny, I can't even see how you hear Yanny in that clip at all. But good God.
Yanny.
This is so
Laurel.
I'm kind of freaking out a little bit.
They're totally different. You heard the other thing earlier you were saying.
Yes. I mean, all morning I looked at the original tweet. I played that. Then I saw the story on Fox 35. I heard Yanny again. And just now I hear Laurel.
I don't hear it, the other one at all.
Laurel.
Okay, God.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of those things, just like the dress, where people divide online. I hear this, I hear this.
But how does it work?
I'm frustrated because you're right. With the dress, if I sat there, I could go, oh, wait a second. And like an optical illusion, I would be able to see it the other way. And I go, oh, okay, I get what you're doing. My eyes naturally rest on this, and your eyes are seeing it this way. Let's talk to Chops. Go ahead, Chops.
Hey, man, I was listening to the Monsters this morning because I sit in my trash truck all day long, and that's all I do is listen to real radio.
Thank you.
So they were playing it and talking about it, and I heard Laurel plain as day every single time they played it this morning.
Yeah.
As soon as you played it, I heard Yuri every single time that you played it. Yeah.
Laurel.
Yuri.
You're hearing Yuri?
Yeah, but I
Yuri is not a choice.
Laurel.
Oh, my God. I don't know.
We can dive into it. I just found an interesting article.
Oh, you found more about this?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I mean, this story is unavoidable today. We might as well. When we come back, also, a very interesting study that was done by somebody who has a lot of time on their hands. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Your next chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1. Real Radio. the game of magnets, taking over the world one terrible person at a time. This is the News Junkie. Okay, okay, let me explain. Okay, okay, let me
explain. I'm Emily Camp. Just put an end to this whole thing, because this is going to drag on for weeks and weeks, I think. And for the three of you who haven't heard of this, apparently everybody today is arguing about one sound clip that perhaps says one word or perhaps says another. And if you hear it, fine. If not, whatever. But they've brought some science into this, so maybe we could just shut it down. Just completely shut it down and resolve this whole thing. And everybody can move past it.
That would be nice.
We'll think back on the timeline. We'll go, yeah, we had the dress that nobody knew what color it was. We had that optical illusion that one time. Then we had the Yanny or Laurel thing.
What amazes me is that this goes viral within the last 24 hours, and PopSci has already done an extensive piece with sound experts.
Oh my God, yeah.
Breaking this down.
I love how there are people who specialize in this and they wake up and they go, ho, 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 you know, today's an exciting day.
That's who we need to get in touch with when we have our fart sound debates.
You know, really find out if something is a real fart or a fake fart, these people would be useful. But today, they're Yanny versus Laurel debaters and trying to tell people what you're actually hearing in that clip. So all I can hear is Laurel over and over again. But this article says that there was somebody else who heard that, and then some other outlet played a different clip of the same thing.
Laurel.
And they heard Yanny.
Laurel.
And then they explained the science of the whole thing. But they said they had something where it slowed down and you're supposed to be able to hear both versions. Do you have that, Sabrina?
Yeah. So I have down to 30%, down 20%, or up 20, up 30, up 40. You tell me what you'd like.
Just start on the first one. What's
all
the
right.
first one?
So this is down 30.
Yanny. Yanny.
Oh, I totally hear Yanny now.
Yanny.
So that sounds totally different than this.
Laurel.
Yep.
Laurel.
This is down.
I don't hear Yanny though when it's normal
wait,
speed.
You know, but you hear it in the slow one, right?
Yes.
All right. This is down 20%. Let's see. 3, 2, 1.
Yanny.
Yeah, now I'm hearing
Yanny.
Now this is up 20%.
Laurel. Laurel.
How
back
bizarre.
To Laurel.
So they're saying that they broke down these waveforms. And they talked to Brad Story, professor of speech, language, and hearing sciences at the University of Arizona.
Who is a hero today.
Yes, he did waveform analysis. The first waveform is of the actual recording, and it features the primary acoustic features of the I and R sounds. That leads Story to believe that the voice is really saying Laurel.
All right.
Now, I guess with encoded language within the sound wave, make people...
Yeah. There's like some other stuff.
Otherwise.
It's not a good recording is what it is. It's not a good recording. And there are little artifacts in the recording that make some people hear Yanny instead of the actual Laurel.
Now, another Twitter user claimed you can change what you hear by modulating the bass levels. So
let's hear
is,
that.
Is this getting tested?
Laurel.
There's no effects.
Laurel.
Bass booster.
Laurel. Laurel.
I just heard Laurel the whole time.
Treble.
Laurel. Laurel.
No effects.
Laurel.
Okay. That all?
Yeah, it's all Laurel.
Sounded the same.
It's a pitch
Laurel.
Thing.
The only one I ever heard was Laurel. The first one you played that sounded clearly like
all
Yanny.
Right. Listen to this. So, same speed, just lower the pitch.
Yanny.
Yeah.
Yanny.
How is
Yanny.
That possible, though?
Yanny.
Let's figure
Laurel.
It out.
Laurel.
Okay, Laurel. All right. Laurel and Yanny.
I don't want to make a trap remix yet.
Britt Yazel. Oh, you know what? There's no way that somebody hasn't done that already. A researcher at the UC Davis Center for Mind and Brain says it's somebody who has recorded the word Laurel, and there's some artifacts and high-frequency stuff that's overlaying it that's throwing you off. So tell your friends that's what's happening.
If it were a clip of me saying Laurel... Would it sound like Yanny if I slowed it down?
Oh, only if you had the same kind of messed up artifacts that are in that recording itself. Because that's what's causing all of those
things. I
want to try it out. You're going to try to make yourself sound?
Laurel.
All right.
All right. Yeah.
Laurel.
All
right.
Take that into the workshop.
Take it in the... No, it's in the workshop already.
Take that, Brad Story.
Got it in the workshop right now.
All right. Oh, look at Celia in real time.
Let's
it
slow
is
it down.
Yanny.
Laurel. Laurel. Laurel.
Laurel. Laurel.
Laurel. Laurel.
Those are all Laurel.
Yanny.
I did it, it happened, guys.
Yeah. You're viral. Congratulations.
We solved the mystery.
So hopefully that mystery is put to rest and you don't have to deal with it for the rest of the day.
This is the stupidest thing. This will be the stupidest thing we've done all week, I think.
I woke up and I saw that and I go, oh man, this is going to be everywhere. This is going just to inundate. Your grandma will see this in like a week. And then her grandma will see it a week after that, and then we'll be done. Everybody around the world will say that they know what they're hearing when they hear that particular clip.
Laurel.
So there you go. Covered.
Laurel.
Completely and totally done. Meanwhile, they're screwing up yearbooks everywhere because it's the yearbook time of year. And my son, I saw he made it in the yearbook. Dylan got like a little interview in there.
Oh, fun.
And then he got mad because this was his first ever interview. And he's like, I gave a whole interview and they just pulled some quotes out of there and made me sound stupid. And I said, you don't sound stupid.
He's so
cute. I said, you sound great. And they were like, what do you want to do? And he goes, I want to go to Orlando and record a song at a recording studio. And it's like all about, you know, his goals in life and stuff. And a picture of him with a damn man bun and God, but
proud father.
So he goes, he was upset about what ended up in the yearbook. And I said, no, you sound great. Everything sounds cool. This, on the other hand, I don't know, once again, how it got past all the people in the approval process for a yearbook. It's at a school called the Sonoran Science Academy, and I believe it's in Arizona. And they were in disbelief, at least the parents were, when they saw some of the things that were in the yearbook. So when you go back to your yearbook, what would you have? Most likely to succeed? Most likely to be a movie star.
I was class clown.
Well, class clown is one that they always have in there.
I don't think we did senior superlatives in my school.
But they're general ones that they repeat all over the place. These, not so much. In fact, one 11-year-old girl at the school got most likely to bomb the United States.
Okay.
That went through the whole process. And there's more. I mean, it gets even worse. Listen to this. It gets worse from there, believe it or not.
School yearbooks usually list who's most likely to succeed, best athlete, most popular. But the yearbook from this Valley school just identified a student as most likely to become a terrorist.
Yeah. You shouldn't
Favorite
do that.
Favorite memory of SSA.
Bree Brown couldn't believe what she saw looking through her daughter's school yearbook. An eighth grader voted most likely to bomb the United States.
The minute I opened it up, my heart just sank. I thought, how did this get past administration? Why was there no proofing? I can't fathom
that?
Having a child.
She like opened a briefcase in the middle of the interview? That was weird. She's upset about this after reading it. And she says, I cannot believe they didn't catch this. And I'm with her on that. Like, how did nobody see this? And there's more.
Labeled basically as a terrorist, a future terrorist of our country. Horrible.
The yearbook from the Sonoran Science Academy in Peoria was sent home with students a few days ago, and it didn't take long for the controversy to blow up. Brown showed us a number of questionable comments.
Is that their whoosh at this news station?
I think it's broken.
I just heard it again. It's
like, one girl was voted most likely to steal gang people's food. Another student.
Okay, so.
Gang people?
See, this is kind of weird to me. Because I'm seeing a story out of KYMA that says that the guy voted himself. The student chose himself as most likely to bomb the U.S. as a yearbook superlative.
Yeah, either way, they shouldn't have approved that.
But the other ones, you know, those are all the headlines as the most likely to bomb. But these other ones, like most likely to be a bonk gang member.
Yeah,
like
that,
Bonk
like
Gang.
Bonk Gang, that's the guy who goes on his viral videos and into places and Bonk Gang, and he steals stuff or does whatever.
One student stated their favorite memory as being stabbed with a pencil.
One person was voted most likely to be an internet scammer. How did they get this through the whole system? And they're little kids, too. So who was the one who did this?
His favorite memory was when someone got stabbed with a pencil.
I was in a little bit of disbelief.
But nothing compares to the outrage over the boy most likely to become a terrorist.
And these are children that are in charge of the yearbook club. They are overseen by a teacher. So if it wasn't caught by the teacher that's in charge of the club, why wasn't it caught
of
by
course.
Someone higher up in administration? That's something that I would really like to know.
We reached out to administrators at the K-8 charter school and were told there was never any class vote on best and worst categories. The eighth graders each filled out a yearbook form and were allowed to write any statements they wanted to be put next to their picture.
So they did their own superlatives. Well, maybe this kid, his favorite memory was somebody who got stabbed with a pencil. He didn't have any other favorite memories. That one we could let slide, I think. Some of the other ones, there should have been more of an editing process. I think that's what the parents are upset about.
This eighth grader apparently thought it would be funny if he said he was most likely to bomb the U.S.
Certainly it should have been caught by the faculty advisor in the editing process, and it wasn't. So, you know, from the perspective of the school, they're going to make sure that this doesn't happen again in the future.
Also, not for nothing, but maybe we should talk to this kid who said that they themselves thought they were most likely to bomb the U.S.? I'm sure they were kidding around, but maybe just a couple of questions there.
Maybe, but I don't know. I would say, like, he has a good sense of humor, and because you could totally see a stand-up comedian that's Muslim saying a joke along those lines, but I don't know how it made the yearbook, per se. Because someone had to read his handwriting and then type it in and then sign off on that proof.
Yeah, or they were supposed to, and they didn't. And these kids now are getting some heat for their yearbook. Trust me, it won't be the last yearbook story. Happens all over the place. And on to the most important research story of all time. I know what you're saying. It's the Yanny or Laurel debate. No, it's not the Yanny or Laurel debate. No.
Laurel.
It's the truly impressive, monumental research study done by somebody with a whole lot of time on their hands. It's the question as old as time, or at least as old as alphabet soup. John Stitch spent nearly 4 hours of his day, and I can think of about 1 billion things that would have been a better use of his time, but he took part in a forensic investigation to find out how many of each letter there are in a tin of alphabet spaghetti. Why? I don't think we'll ever know. But he had a research method, reasoning, and conclusion that was as detailed, boring, and long-winded as you would imagine. He just determined, I got to do this. We found one can had 179 letters.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. I know. And ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
One can had 180 letters in it.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. I know. So there's a difference of, if you didn't pick up on that, one letter. So one letter difference there, and there's a photo of him like putting all of the letters next to each other. I don't understand how people have the time to do this. And they're also kind of like building him up. It was hard to do because the letters were a bit slippery because of the tomato sauce. When my wife came home, we had it for our tea on some toast, and we both had two sausages, and all was well. There you go. Put that to bed.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, now you know.
Nobel Peace Prize headed your way, buddy.
Yeah, that's going to be something that our children's children talk about when they go, hey, what happened in this decade or in this generation? They'll go, well, the first thing that we did was we solved the Yanny or Laurel debate. And then once we filed that away, I forget about this Mideast peace stuff. We worry about that down the road. Once we filed that away, we grabbed a bunch of cans of alphabet soup, which is enjoyable to eat and also, I guess, enjoyable to have a research study on. We went through, we found out exactly how many letters there were, and we compared it to another can. And imagine this, that somehow, some way, made the news.
Yay!
My alphabet amazing soup thing. Just says, ooh.
I think it's time to go to a commercial.
Back in just a moment. It's the news, Junkie.
Ooh. Christopher.
It's the news, Junkie, on Real Radio.
Ooh. Real. Radio.
104.1. He's smiling, and that alone should scare you. This is the news, Junkie.
Good God, C-Lane, what are you doing? I thought we put it to bed. I thought we were all done. It's Laurel, and then, yeah, some people hear Yanny because of some things in it. And C-Lane's over there manipulating it, and he thinks he's come up with another word that things sound like.
I'm just saying, when you do it, when you're pitch shifting it, because we all hear Laurel mostly, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Can we agree that?
Yeah, this one?
Yes. Laurel. That you hear Laurel when you hear that, right?
Laurel, got it.
And so, all right. So at the normal, okay.
100% pressing a lot of buttons
ratio
is changing things over on the
Laurel,
other
Laurel, phone. Laurel.
Right, right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Laurel, and then when we go to about 150.
Laurel.
Do the thing.
Laurel.
What are you doing, man?
Laurel.
Who's playing that?
Is
that
I'm not.
Damn I'm it. Not playing anything.
He's got so much stuff going on over there.
There's a lot of things at work here.
So you're trying to make a brand new sound to confuse the world.
Yeah, he said he thought he made it sound Joey.
It does sound like Joey. Right? You lower it a little bit, and it's Yanny.
Yanny.
Okay,
right.
I heard
that.
All
right, and now mind blow time. Ready? Joey.
I hear Billy.
Joey.
Okay, put that on mine and say, Billy or Joey? Just start it all over again. My good God. Let's get to some of these dispatches. People took their time to set these in.
I don't care about that. I care about Joey.
I'm going to find another word in that before this segment's over. Here is a Fred Flip Phone with a dispatch.
I have decided to stop leaving dispatches because Sean never plays them except for this one, which is going to make me look like a dick. I don't know how to end this song.
Oh, you did it right there. Good job. Here's Sweet Thai Chili.
Today is a sad day.
Oh, why?
I just returned to my car to have both my Secret Shows magnet
and my
Death to Robots magnet having been claimed by the Game of Magnets.
I wonder if it's the Nissan.
I guess that's just part of it. It kind of sucks. I'd also like to talk about the ethics of taking more than one magnet at a time. And taking a Secret Show magnet if you're not a Secret Show subscriber.
Lots
Maybe
of
I'm
ethical
just a
questions.
Little bitter and a little sick.
I always wonder if we're hearing the other side of the story. Somebody calls in and like, yeah, game of magnets. I just scored a magnet off the back of this car. And the other person goes, what the hell? Somebody just took my magnet. With somebody's elated happiness is somebody else's destitute sadness. It's the way it works. Here's Dylan with the very first dispatch.
Hey, news junkies.
Hey, you.
That Snoop Dogg commercial was like on your show about all day yesterday. If you didn't know, wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
Nailed it, Dylan. Right out of the gate with a grade A dispatch. Thank you for that. Yes, there was a lot of people who did dispatch about that and made us aware that that was going on. And then I guess today we learned it's much more significant of a campaign than we would imagine.
It's the same product that does two things.
One product?
It's both for him.
It does two things, Yanny and Laurel.
You take one thing and your hair grows and
your penis works.
Your penis works?
Yeah.
It's like a miracle drug. There's a lot of things being
say
solved
what,
by
say
that.
What, it's the boy Big Snoop D-O-double-G, and I got a very special message to the players. That's right, to the males.
This guy.
Sexual performance issues are more common than
listen
you
to this.
Think. Maybe not for me, but probably for you.
He goes, I'm going to endorse ED pills, but I want to make it clear. Mine works.
Let's go. Go ahead. What were you saying?
I'm just saying. That was it.
Let's go to Alley Cat with a dispatch.
Wondering if the free range office situation is an attempt for people to come in early or on time for work. I don't know. Just a thought.
I like the idea that if you had a free range employee setup, meaning that this new thing workplaces are doing, in fact, 50-something% of workplaces, when they asked in a study, suggested that they were going to try to do this. When you go to work each day, you just sit wherever you want. You just take a cubicle or an office or you go wherever you want. And the reason why I think this might be useful in one way, because I don't like the overall idea, but it would be hard for people to tell if you were late for work that day. Because it's not like you just walk by the desk and you go, there's right. C-Lane's desk, where's C-Lane?
Well, a lot of times, a lot of those jobs have some sort of inner office instant messenger that you log on to, that everybody's kind of chatting all day when they need to do stuff. So there's that. Although, a lot of those have apps that you can just log in on your phone, and then it looks like you're working the whole time.
I had a friend who had a job where they used time management software. Have you ever heard of anybody who had to use this at a job?
Yeah.
And like every single thing that they do in the day, they have to log into this thing and go from 10 to 11, I filed these reports and I did that. And I thought, man, working like that every day would be so miserable just to have to go in there and show. I'd be like, I'm getting my work done, okay? But minute by minute, you have to put all of that information in. Right now, somebody's listening who goes, I do that every single day. I'm doing it right now. And to that person, I'm sorry. Here is Amy with a dispatch.
Hi, y'all.
Hey.
This is Amy Sue from Merritt Island. Just calling to let you know I have 3 news junkie magnets, and nobody's getting them because they're all in my refrigerator.
And you're in a windstorm.
I'm a magnet hoarder. People come over, try to steal them. I hide them.
Well, that's not going to go over well.
Good luck.
Amy, that is not going to go over well. Here is G-Pez.
Hey, G-Pez here. Just giving you a quick shout out. I have a magnet I've had on my truck for almost 2 years. No one's taken it. I'm up in Ormond Beach here. It's on my work truck. It's a pool butler truck. So come and get it. All right.
See, that later. Too. That also is going to piss off a lot of people. Let's see if Harry can make it a trifecta. Here we go.
Most likely to be a terrorist. That is great. I haven't laughed that hard in a long time. Little follow up on that mom. See, these things do come true because she was most likely to be a snitch in her yearbook in 8th grade.
I see.
Oh, that's great. Most likely to be a terrorist or stabbed with a pencil.
Most likely to bomb the United States, I think, was the actual most likely that they used in that yearbook. Back in a moment with the next episode. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Orlando City travels to the 6th to challenge Toronto FC this Friday, May 18th. Coverage begins at 7:30 p.m. on Real Radio 104.1 and iHeartRadio. High diving face first into the world's most viral newsroom. This is the News Junkie.
The next episode in just a moment. T-Lane's taking his argument about the Yanni clip to the next level. He's going full on viral over there. Posting it up and saying that you think you figured it out?
Plot twist.
Plot twist. It's Joey. We'll have that up in just a bit so you can check it out and see for yourself. And he's going to get all the space bucks going full viral. And it'll be everywhere. I think he's got a chance. It's going to spin this whole thing in another direction. Meanwhile, 7-Eleven has a new strategy for dealing with, quote, riffraff, unquote. And they're talking about vagrants, homeless people that gather around their establishments and just kind of set up shop. It happens at a California 7-Eleven, and the owner, Suki Sandhu, said, I got an idea that I think will get rid of these people that are just leaning on the front of my 7-Eleven. I'm going to play some opera music. And the music is working, and people aren't hanging out in front, and once the music started, he said, people just completely left. It's hard for them to hang out and gossip and joke around when you got things cranking that they don't necessarily like this. I stick around for this. That's in Dorma. In April, they say the problem started to get worse and worse, and the 7-Eleven owner said, let me try something. Started to pump opera music. Yeah, I could see leaving when that played, too. And they say they may pick it up across other chains or other 7-Eleven establishments.
How awesome would it be, though, is that they get rid of all the homeless people hanging around and it's just a bunch of, like, opera fans.
Opera fans.
Like, huge fans with the little binoculars.
Reading playbills, and they're just out there hanging out. I guess maybe they're all right with that. That'll bring in a different crowd, but they don't mind it all that much. So, yeah, they're looking to roll this out perhaps at some other 7-Elevens around the country. So if you hear the opera music, you go, oh, I know what this means. It means you don't want me to hang out in front of your store. You know where they need to play this? They need to play it at Subway downtown Orlando because they always got like a whole crew hanging out there, just setting up shop, leaning against things, just hanging out. Right on the stoop there.
Oh, man. And, it would create a nice little atmosphere if you're If you were walking down past Wall Street, la la ye be me no no.
That'd be nice. You got a little bit of rap coming out of this place, a little rock and roll out of this place, and then you got your little zone with a bit of opera. So you get a nice selection of different types of music.
A little rap, a little rock and roll, a little opera.
Yeah, you got a mix of everything you could possibly ask for.
The one person that would hate that is the door guy if it happens.
Right. Just have to hear that all day long. Let's do the next episode.
Because there's a lot on TV, and you can't possibly keep up with all of it. Even though you should, because what else are you going to talk about?
Hey, Tuts, you're so beautiful today. Give me another...
Nothing. Weather's nice. It's time for the next episode with Sabrina.
Hey. Are you ready for the next episode?
I was waiting to hear what he was going to say there.
It was inappropriate. I had to bleep it out.
You had to cut it out?
It was scotch or mop. I'm not completely sure. 18 years ago... 2000, the artist formerly known as
Prince
went back to just plain Prince because his publishing contract expired on December 31st, 1999. Just plain Prince said his birth name was emancipated from long-term restrictive documents. This is how crazy this man's life was before he died.
Has anybody done like a big documentary on Prince? I know Kevin Smith was filming some stuff, and there's a funny story about that, but I'd love to watch like a really good documentary about him.
I would too. I just think that nobody, there's still no control of his estate.
Yeah.
Because you can't get the approval or whatever. They say that he had to stop using the symbol he used for identifying himself when he was committed to undesirable relationships, and it all went downhill or uphill from there. I do not know. Meryl Streep, she signed on to star in a new Steven Soderbergh movie. You had me at Meryl Streep, replied all the great aunts everywhere. The Weeknd and Bella Hadid are back together.
Oh, great.
Yes, which means there's hope for another celebrity reunion, Kanye and Sanity.
Mm.
But let's not get our hopes up.
He's ditched his phone, I think, he said. He's like not tweeting anymore. He's not doing
anything. He's producing.
Yeah, he's just getting to work, I guess.
What will Meghan Markle be spending after this weekend?
I don't know.
Gingerbread. Because he's redhead.
Yeah, red pubes. Yeah, I see.
Pull out your white jeans for poor Tom Wolfe.
He's dead?
Tom Wolfe is dead. The man who wore white vests, the legendary reporter turned novelist, he died after being hospitalized with an infection.
The guy that made Law and Order?
No, that's Dick Wolfe. Yeah.
His brother.
Tom Wolfe, 88 years old, grew up in Virginia, got his PhD at Yale. He wrote for Washington Post, New York Herald, Tribune, Esquire. One of the pioneers of new journalism.
Mm-hmm.
Can you define that?
New journalism?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Online journalism?
A style of nonfiction writing influenced by fiction techniques, like describing the subjects of articles as if they're characters in a novel. He brought you phrases like radical chic or the me decade or pushing the envelope. That was Tom Wolfe.
This is old stuff.
Also wrote a bunch of classics like The Bonfire Vanities, The Right Stuff, one of my favorites, The Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test. Also known for his three-piece white suits, a look he called neo-pretentious, and now he's rocking a new look, neo-cadaverous. So rest in peace, Mr. Tom Wolfe. Someone who's not dead yet, so close, but I feel like this may
close.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. What's his name? Stan Lee.
Stan Lee is right. He has filed a lawsuit for not $1 million. But $1 billion against POW Entertainment. POW Entertainment. For stealing his name, his likeness, possibly his blood.
Okay.
I do not even know. Now he's suing POW Entertainment. Fraud and conversion. Conversion? Claiming the company and two of its officers conspired to steal his identity, name, and likeness in a nefarious scheme involving a sham sale to a Chinese company. They say he was devastated at the time when they sold POW to Hong Kong-based Kamsing International, and his wife was on her deathbed. They took advantage of his despair and the fact that he was legally blind around that time and said, hey, will you just sign this real quick?
Poor guy. He got screwed over so many times.
And on top of it, elder abuse.
Uh-huh.
And on top of it, I'm pretty sure someone stole his blood and was selling it in pens
or something like that? Yeah, or they're going to... Yeah, I remember that.
Just a piece of that story. Well, they say they asked him to sign a non-exclusive license with POW for the use of his name and likeness in connection with creative works owned by the company, but instead he signed off his entire self. Is an exclusive right to his name, identity, image, and likeness on a worldwide basis forever.
What are they doing with it?
They're using it, but because he was blind, they said, you know, it could have gone three ways. Either they lifted his signature from another document, or they said, hey, this is what it says, but because you can't read it,
yeah,
we actually changed the fine print. Claims Powell took control of his social media accounts. They've been impersonating him, something he recently addressed on Twitter, or
right.
Did he?
And I saw that. He said, in the past, it hasn't been me posting.
Poor dude.
Which I had no idea.
Well, he's seeking an injunction declaring the agreement invalid and unenforceable and damages in excess of $1 billion.
That's a lot.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So someone become friends with him real quick. This guy right here.
Justin Sigh is right,
but don't sigh. Be happy for him because he has ended his exclusive contract with YG Entertainment after 8 years. They announced the singers decided to part ways. They stated...
What a bountiful contract that was, right?
Through detailed negotiations.
It was 6 months of amazingness and 7.5 years of nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but whatever he did, I mean, obviously made the company himself rich AF. Now they say they've decided to respect Sai's desire to take on new challenges. They say his endless energy and passion for music were also moved together as Gundam Style gained global popularity. So we're cheering on Sai's great new beginning and wish for his health and happiness. And now he's going solo to take on new markets and challenges. Open bidding style.
Man, I'm looking at that video. 3.15 billion plays.
What is that monthly check?
That's a lot. I mean, that's when you get up to that much, that's a lot of views.
I don't know how many plays this song has, but I'll explain this phrase. Girls who like girls don't like girls who like boys who sang girls.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
What? Huh? This song?
Yeah.
There's a big controversy with it. This is the new song by Rita Ora. It features Charlie XCX, BB Rexha, Cardi B. Simple song about girls who like to get a little high, a little drunk, and want to kiss a gal. But they're saying that it does not hold a candle to I Kissed a Girl by Katy Perry. Instead, it's just angered a bunch of people who view the song as nothing more than a group of perceived straight girls making a mockery of gay and bisexual romantic relationships.
Oh, God.
Now, singer Hayley Kiyoko, she's been vocal about her desire to sing about her female love interests in an industry I would largely rather use pronouns to be neutral, to appeal to straight audiences. She wrote on Twitter that the song fuels the male gaze while marginalizing the idea of women loving women.
Okay.
They do call her the lesbian Jesus, which I don't think is very fair.
It's a lot to live up to.
They consider all the lesbians in the entertainment industry before naming one Jesus.
What are the lyrics again?
Sometimes you just want to kiss girls.
Because what you were saying sounded like that Blur song to me.
Yeah, boys who kiss girls,
Like this catchy as hell.
The girls who like girls don't like the girls who like boys pretending to like girls singing on girls.
I wonder if they're going to sue.
Now they say, no, that was just the title of the article.
Oh.
They don't say it in the actual.
The boys sue the girls?
Now the stan accounts came for her after Twitter pulled up old tweets in which she used racial slurs. Because you can't make a statement about something current without going back to your old tweets and seeing what you did. That's why I have Time Hop. Make sure to delete everything.
It reminds you every once in a while?
Artists like Shura and Katie Gavin of the band Muna said that girls is echoing the claims about the male gaze, writing that the song is a reminder that we still have a lot of work ahead of us, lesbos. And Kalani, who identifies as queer, subtweeted the lyrics were harmful. Now, Rita Ora explained her own response, that she speaks on her personal experience dating both men and women in her life. Cardi B, along the same line, saying, I personally myself had experience with other women and a curse word with a lot of women. I know the song was a good song. I remember my experience. And then, of course, resurface of Cardi B, a interview with Breakfast Club in which she called lesbians dykes, and she had to apologize for that.
Everybody gets that treatment now.
It's incredible. Now, the apologies may come too late. People are still upset. But what I will tell you is we're all going to forget about this next week because we still have to figure out Yanni and Laurel and then make out with them.
Or Yanni and Laurel, or what's Joey is the third option.
Is that what you're trying to
do? He's so busy with his Yanni and Laurel thing. He's not even listening to me. Yanni and Laurel and Joey.
Or Billy.
Or Billy. We got a fourth even. Wow.
Now, considering that I play for that team, explore, you know? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it is fun to kiss girls. I think girls are better kissers than guys, to be completely honest.
I think there's a lot of songs about girls kissing girls, beyond just the Katy Perry one.
I'm willing to explore. Like, what do you mean?
Songs that are by pop singers where they're girls talking about kissing girls in the lyrics.
I will find them and make a list, and then all the girls will be kissing girls. Like any teen, Anne Frank, speaking of kissing girls, or just exploring her sexuality, she totally did. Now, we were talking yesterday at the bar that she also had a comedy routine.
Who did?
Didn't some article come up the other day that they resurface Anne Frank out of her diary, jokes?
Yeah, I don't know how there's any new news from Anne Frank. This makes absolutely no sense to me. But they talked about, in her diary, there were all these dirty jokes and, like, sex jokes.
Well, it makes sense. I didn't get it either, but it was actually, it was interesting because she hid the text. Let me start from the beginning. Researchers uncovered two pages that Anne Frank tried to hide from her diary involving what she referred to as sexual matters. And, like, she definitely knew what was going on inside brothels. For example,
in a code she hid it?
She hid it under brown paper.
All right.
Like many a bashful teen, she tried to hide her thoughts, pasting brown paper over the naughty bits in her notebook. Huh. And now researchers have finally been able to uncover what's under it without breaking the pages. Now, here's one phrase. All men, if they're normal, go with women. Women like that accost them on the street. Then they go together. In Paris, they have big houses for that. Papa has been there. She just added her dad as a hooker lover.
Okay.
Today, the Anne Frank House and two other cultural institutions announced that they are able to uncover the hidden text using new technology. It's suspected that she was hiding from a writing from her father, others living with her, in the close quarters in the attic, while hiding from the Nazis.
I like to think that the person who uncovered that was looking for something really deep.
Damn, Anne Frank, you horny.
Like some kind of deep insight into being a Jew during all this stuff.
Another quote, I sometimes imagine that someone might come to me and ask me to inform him about sexual matters. How do I go about that? She wrote in her native Dutch. She described sex as rhythmical movements. Mm-hmm. She called birth control internal medicament. And she explains the period as a sign that she is ripe. Researchers found the pages in the original version of the diary while checking and photographing its condition in 2016 and will be available online and at the museum. Woo-wee.
All right.
And I only have time for one more, so you really did it this time, UK. This fella right here, he's doing a tour across the sea.
Sheeran.
Sheeran is right. And everybody knows.
His last name's only like Jeopardy right now.
Everyone knows that Sheeran loves what?
I almost said your body? Really bad. The shape of you?
And the shape of ketchup bottles, especially what's inside ketchup, is the right answer. Well, he's on tour in Ireland, and a gelato shop called Gelati and Niscrone and Bellini.
Of course.
Complicated. Decided to honor him with ketchup ice cream.
That's gross.
Yep, ice cream made with Heinz ketchup, topped with Heinz ketchup. Now he has yet to try it. Not even clear if he knows about it. But hey, if we put it on the internet, maybe he'll come over because he has it tattooed on his arm and he has nothing better to do. Come on, man.
Ugh.
That being said, I am working on my lower back mayo tattoo.
Okay.
Because I love mayo.
All right.
On the BoobTube, fifth season finale of The Blacklist, 8 p.m. on NBC. The season finale of The Goldbergs on ABC. Finale of Modern Family on ABC. What are we going to watch tomorrow? I do not know. Hip Hop Square, Snoop Dogg versus Erykah Badu. And then Jimmy Fallon will have Will Ferrell and Molly Shannon and Florence and the Machine. Have a great hump day, Chodes, and remember,
smoke weed every day.
A live trivia up next. If you'd like to play, now's the time to dial us up, 407-916-1041. Toll free, it's 1-888-978-1041. Two callers head-to-head to battle it out for a prize while you play along on the News Junkie app or jump on the phones now. 407-916-1041 or toll-free 1-888-978-1041. It's the News Junkie. Live trivia up next with the News Junkie on Real Radio.
You're listening to the News Junkie. Sean Wasson. So I'm moving to
live trivia in just a moment. How do you play along? Well, you download the app, search for The News Junkie in the App Store. Get it right now. Set up your account. You'll be involved on board with everybody else as we do live trivia.
Get ready for live trivia with The News Junkie. You can play along with The News Junkie smartphone app. Right. What? Unless you don't have it, in which case get it at thenewsjunkie.com or call 407-916-1041. Toll free 888-978-1041. Good luck.
That's live trivia for a Wednesday, May 16, 2018. In front of me, seven questions, things we discussed on the show yesterday, items in the news, all that good stuff. And live trivia brought to you by Nations Trucks and their website, which is nationstrucks.com. Let's grab some players here. And Yanni, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, excellent. We got Yanni. We got Jessica. Are you there?
I'm here.
All right, great. Jessica and Yanni are players in live trivia today. Best of luck to the both of you. Let's get started with question number one. American Idol host Ryan Seacrest has been caught making a series of bizarre comments to Judge Katy Perry, apparently unaware that he was live. Which was the first awkward comment that he said? Seacrest in, am I right? You look a lot like my next girlfriend. Can I kiss you and see if I like it? Or your mom's pretty. Jessica, which one's right?
C.
All right, Yanni?
C.
And we go to number two. Director Lars von Trier is back in Con, Cans, whatever, causing controversy once again with a grisly murder drama.
Controversy.
That more than 100 people reportedly walked out of. What's the title of this film? Is it The House That Jack Built? Drug Boy Cow Store? The Building That House Jacked? Or The Portland Butcher? Yanni.
Portland Butcher.
All right, what do you think, Jessica?
Portland Butcher.
We're moving on to number three. According to new data from the Social Security Administration, this name has declined 33% in popularity among newborn girls. Is that Alexa, Harvey, Siri, or Hillary? Go ahead, Jessica.
Siri.
Okay, Yanni?
Alexa.
Okay, well, on to number four. Apple is facing a proposed class action lawsuit over the company's MacBook and MacBook Pro laptops and their defective what? What's the lawsuit over? Their Super Drive slot loader, their Lightning pick-it-a-fourth port, or unibody fans, or the final option, butterfly keyboards. Yanni.
Butterfly keyboard.
Jessica.
Butterfly keyboard.
On to number five, a South African pastor is on the spot after he asked his congregants to remove their underwear and wave them in the air, claiming they must do this in order to what? Wake up Jesus, deter Satan from the church, attract angels from heaven, or get rid of the marijuana smell. Jessica.
Deter Satan from the church.
Okay, you think to get Satan out of the church? Yanni, what is your guess?
Please say them again, please. The answer.
Sure. Did they wave their panties in the air to wake up Jesus, deter Satan from the church, attract angels from heaven, or get rid of that pot smell?
I'm going to say C.
Down to the final two. Number six, Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey, that's the ride at Universal Studios, turned out to be just that for a man who is now suing Universal. He says the popular ride caused him to suffer from this. Is it spinobifidosia, Potter sequence, shaken adult syndrome, or post-traumatic thrash disorder? Yanni.
Hey.
Jessica.
Post-traumatic thrash disorder.
All right, I'll put you down for that. We'll go to the final question. Yesterday, we learned the band Creed's original name was which of the following? Was it Bear Baked Babies, Department of Homeland Obscurity, Naked Toddler, or Bacalnick? Jessica.
Bacalnick.
Yanni.
Ooh, that's a good one. I missed that part. I guess I'm Naked Toddler. I don't
okay.
know.
All right. You guys, I want you to get used to this sound here, okay? Prepare yourselves.
Jessica, Bacalnick.
Yeah, Bacalnick.
I know.
It's too late. It's too late now. We'll put you both on hold. We'll go over the questions and the answers. We'll find out who the winner is in live trivia today. Not a great performance. Both of you just kind of falling through this.
You know, I wouldn't necessarily hate on both of them.
Oh, somebody stood out and did better than the other? Well, that's
spoiler
what we need.
Spoiler alert, Jessica won.
Oh, okay. Jessica and Yanni will go through this and see how much Jessica won by, starting with question number one. Ryan Seacrest was caught on a hot mic telling Katy Perry this.
Jessica and Yanni both said, "Can I kiss you and see if I like it?" And that answer, I do not like. Correct answer, your mom's pretty.
Number two, the controversial director Lars von Trier is causing controversy again. What's the name of the new film he has out?
Both the players said The Portland Butcher, and both of you should Lars von try harder. Yeesh. Correct answer, The House That Jack Built.
We're not doing well so far. So far, not so good. On to number three, maybe things get better. This name has declined in popularity 33% among newborn girls.
Jessica said Siri, and hey Siri, that answer was seriously wrong. Yanni said Alexa, and that answer was right.
Number four, Apple is facing a proposed class action lawsuit over their MacBook and MacBook Pro laptops. It's all about this part.
Both the players said butterfly keyboards, and you can get points in here.
And I mean, that one, is, I'm glad that they got right because I probably would have lost my mind. When one of the options is lightning, pick of the fourth port. I mean, pick of the fourth. Pick the butterfly keyboards one. At least they got that.
Butterfly keyboard.
Number five. You're still sick of that song.
MacBook Air.
A South African pastor told the congregants to wave the panties in the air for this reason.
It was Jessica that said deter Satan from the church. And that answer
was wrong. I'm Satan.
What? Got a little odd today.
It was Yanni that said attract angels from heaven. And that answer was right.
The guy who was on the Harry Potter ride says he's now suffering from this.
Yanni said spina bifidosa, and that answer was incorrect. Jessica said post-traumatic thrash disorder. That answer, you guessed it, incorrect.
Ouch.
Shaken adult syndrome.
The one that sounds the most fake in this case was the actual thing that the guy says he's suffering from. Number seven, yesterday we learned before Creed was Creed, they were this.
Jessica said Bacalnick. It never made it as a white man. Yanni said naked toddler. That answer was oddly right. And we do have a winner of live trivia. That's Yanni.
All right, Yanni. Congratulations, Yanni. You are the winner of live trivia.
Baby.
Hang on tight.
Sorry, I missed part of the show yesterday, but I got some of it, so I'm glad I won.
You got four out of seven.
Yeah, not too bad. I thought it was really bad at the beginning, but then there was a recovery, so you did good. Hang on tight. We'll give you a prize for your victory today. What do we have, C-Lane?
I have a four-pack of tickets to go see the Orlando Science Center. And you can get messy at the Science Center now with MessFest on May 19th and 20th. Ooh. They're going to have five zones with oodles of oogie activities that burst, splatter, and explode.
It's oogie, huh?
And explode.
Son of a bitch, computer's
boom,
not good.
Boom, boom, boom.
Computer's acting oogie.
And explode. Thank you. So mad right
now. Just so close to the fart button.
And explode! MessFest will be included with your admission to the Science Center on May 19th and 20th. You can find out more about that at osc.org.
That's what I call my weekends.
Also have a pair of tickets to Saved by the 90s, the world's awesomest 90s party at the House of Blues on Saturday, May 19th. Those tickets are on sale right now, and you can visit realradio.fm, keyword tickets, for more information.
All right, thank you, Celia. Let's take a look at the scoreboard and the News Junkie app.
Let's see. At the top of the scoreboard with 1,940 points, the Dita continues his lead, followed by Fancy Nancy, username Brando Calrissian, DJ Danger Dude, Funky Fresh, Blumpkin Breath, Took My Shiver, Levy with the Levy Was Bride, Laser Blade, and Punk in Drublick. The last five look like Drunken Pirate, Mike from Michigan, Husky, DeJesus, Hemsworth, Lee Road, and Dreed.
All right, congratulations to everybody for working their way on that scoreboard. The winner on Friday is going to get themselves a great prize, so keep working hard and doing your thing. Back in a moment with a mother who changed her child's name for the most bizarre of reasons. The details up next. The News Junkie on Real Radio.
If you ever need to talk, he'll pretend to listen. You're listening to The News Junkie. I'm gonna crash it.
to take a moment here and thank you. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this show, for caring enough to get involved with stuff.
Thank you for listening to us.
Every once in a while, you get these moments where you go, holy cow. I mean, this is a thing, I guess. And we just got ratings. I mean, ratings, you get them all the time. So eventually you stop talking about them. But the ratings book just came in, and it's just unbelievable. I can't even speak. Unbelievable to see how many people listen to this show and how well the show does. In virtually every category you can imagine, number one. And number one, so far ahead of whoever's in second place in some cases, it's almost laughable.
Nice.
So, man, amazing. Thank you so much for bothering to listen to this show, for caring, for telling your friends about it, for getting involved.
Yeah.
And for allowing us to be able to see ratings like this.
We love you.
Yeah, which is pretty stunning. I mean, I'll tell you more about it, but I think most times, when you say like, hey, we got this, just number one, you know?
Yeah.
Number one, like across the board.
I'll tell them. We have 2 million people listening to us.
Right this second, there's 8 gazillion listeners. Just got one more right there. And that's not counting the stream or the podcast.
8 gazillion and 1. Yes. 8 gazillion and 2.
Right there. We'll just keep a count through the whole show today. But thank you on top of everybody and trouncing the competition. But that's because of you. So stick with us. We'll keep doing this. You keep doing what you do. And everything rolls on. I mean, the success of the show this year has been pretty phenomenal with Weekend Edition spreading out into 10 stations that is up to all over the state of Florida and headed beyond very soon. And just everybody putting faith in the show and caring to even visit every day on the dial is an awesome thing to see. So thank you for that. It's not always good news for shows. I mean, when somebody wins, that means a lot of other people have to lose. And look, I know, I've been there. I remember way back in the day when I first started, I remember going in for like a couple of months and then going, what are the ratings? What are the ratings? You want to know what the ratings are so bad. And this was on 1290 WJNO in West Palm Beach. And the program director brings up the ratings. He's like, oh, it looks like you're doing really good. And I go, God, man, I felt like I was doing good. And he goes, men 25-54, you've moved from 17th place to 14th place. Whoa, what now?
Bazinga.
He goes, you got to, you know, the show's got to settle in. Nobody knows that the show exists out here. And that was one of those moments where you go, man, it's very hard to stay in tune with how things are going.
I'm
going to
be here a while.
Yeah, this is got a lot of work ahead of me. I remember starting at 5 o'clock here on Real Radio and the numbers back then, it was 5 o'clock in the morning. Who's listening to the radio? I think the numbers started out at like 15th place. And slowly but surely, it took months and months and months. And then number one, and I said, look, there we go. You don't always get that. You fight for it. You try your hardest every single day. You try to make sure you show the audience that you care about them and that you put the work in. And then you get rewarded every once in a while. So this is one of those moments. We've always had amazing ratings on this show for the most part. And thank you again. Just thanks for listening. Thanks for taking the time. Mm-hmm. There is a mother in Sweden.
Mother in Sweden.
Who made a bit of a mistake here. Well, it wasn't her fault necessarily, but I do believe that it kind of is in some ways. When you get a tattoo with a misspelling on it, your responsibility as well. This means that somebody probably put one of those outline things on. I don't know what they call those. Like, before you get your tattoo,
stencil.
The stencil on, and then you look into the mirror and you check it out. Those are your moment to go, hey, wait just a second here. This isn't right. So they wanted to get this tattoo on her arm that was in memory of, well, you know, not in memory, he's not dead, but just in tribute to her son. And so she got it. The 30-year-old Johanna Sandstrom said, here we go. Nova Kevin. We'll put this on there. I don't know what Nova means, but Kevin is her son's name. Problem is, the tattoo does not say Kevin. It says Kelvin, K-E-L-V-I-N, and there was a mistake. I don't know if anybody was drunk or what happened here. She got mad. She returned to the tattoo artist, who laughed in her face and said, there's really nothing I can do about this other than give you a refund. She looked at tattoo removal as an option, and that was a little bit expensive. And then she says, aha, I've got it. And she legally changed her son's name from Kevin to Kelvin to match the incorrect spelling on her tattoo.
Nova is her other kid's name.
Oh, so Nova, she got right. The other child, Nova, good to go, N-O-V-A. Kevin ended up Kelvin, so she said, all right, I'm going to just change your name.
That's hilarious.
We'll match it that way. So this doesn't look like a glaring mistake as we head into the future. I don't know if that's a good mom or a bad mom. If the child's young enough,
it's
like a dog or something. They're not going to know that you changed their name.
Except when he Googles his mom's name. And
then he finds out.
You changed my name?
I was Kevin way back when, and now he's Kelvin because of that mistake. Fortnite is sweeping the country. In fact, it's sweeping the entire world. There are people out there who play it for a living, who make millions of dollars streaming
you
themselves.
You play it for a living?
Oh, yeah. There's a guy named Ninja who's incredibly popular.
Yeah, that's like the one who was with Drake, who did the most popular, was a Twitch stream.
Oh, yeah. And I think he's broken that record a couple of times afterwards just by himself. And he's got millions of YouTube followers and... It just plays video games and people watch him. And Fortnite is a massive game right now. If you never played this before, you're a little warrior guy and you're in the world with a bunch of other little army guys.
Have you played it?
I've played both of them. I like PUBG myself, but I don't need to get into this whole battle between the two sides here. And you try to survive.
PUBG over Fortnite, Fortnite over PUBG.
Oh, God, it's a whole thing. You try to survive as long as you can to be the last person in the game, then you win. It's becoming a problem for, of all things, Major League Baseball.
Oh.
Because one of video gaming's most popular titles is really causing some issues in the world of Major League Baseball. The players are flocking to the game. And because they have plenty of downtime between games and travel, they play a couple of rounds of this online. And here's the issue. Red Sox pitcher David Price missed his Wednesday start against the team's rival, the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
Because he had, get this, a mild case of carpal tunnel syndrome from playing Fortnite. And Fortnite is having an impact on these baseball teams. I guess he was like all cramped up and weird and the way he was playing it, and it caused him to get carpal tunnel.
Honestly, I would not be surprised if the statistics for carpal tunnel just skyrocket with the use of phones. I mean, I've been dealing with issues with my arms for a while. I'm hoping it's a pinched nerve, but according to my web search, if it's not a pinched nerve, then I totally have carpal tunnel.
Yeah.
And it's not something that runs in my family.
Well, I've been using the pop socket thing. Everybody has these damn things now. And it's a little more comfortable if you're reading at length, but it doesn't matter, especially if you're like laying over in bed and you're like you're all crooked and it's just an absolute mess. It does a number on you. And I guess that is doing a number on these MLB pitchers and causing some damage there. There's some others that have had issues, and they say that there are teams that are considering telling their players not to do this. They don't want them to be able to do things like hook up their controllers to the ballpark's Jumbotron to play the game.
All right.
Which would be
awesome. The coolest thing ever.
You know what we need to do? I feel like we can make this happen. I don't know how. I don't know where. And maybe somebody could help me out with this. You know one of the biggest screens in Orlando that you could gather around easily would be in City Walk. With right above the NBC Sports restaurant.
Are you just coming up with this on your own, or is this something we've talked about before?
I don't think so.
I've been trying to put the idea in the ears of the powers that be.
Oh, to get them to let you play the game there?
Well, because they're building a bunch of Nintendo-themed attractions.
Right.
One of them being a Mario Kart ride. I want to
play a little Mario Kart?
Play gigantic Mario Kart. On the NBC Sports screen.
See, it's something that's related to them. It'll be a promotion for them. And then we could play on this giant-ass screen that is way taller than we are and just absolutely massive. So they're thinking of changing some rules for these Major League players because they're playing a little bit too much in the way of video games. Back in a moment with Jury Duty Plus, your dispatches that are piling up next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
We'd tell you to check out the app chat room, but those people are weird and mostly naked. This is the News Junkie.
Jerry Rudy, in just a moment, and your dispatch is sent through the News Junkie app. Quickly, let's speak with Juan. Are you there, Juan?
Yeah, man. How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Doing pretty good, man. How are you?
So we were talking about Fortnite, and I guess you play this like on a competitive level?
Not really. It's more like fighting games up on a competitive level, but I mean, kind of, I guess you can say.
Well, what is there a game that you play that you're more advanced at than those two or something else?
Yeah, it's called Dragon Ball FighterZ, actually.
Oh,
like I thought it was Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, like Dragon Ball Z. Yeah.
So they are related.
So it's the people from Dragon Ball Z in like a Street Fighter type game?
Yeah, kind of like that, yeah.
And you play that competitively? That's a thing?
Yeah, competitively. It's actually my job, I guess you can say.
What? How much do you make?
As of right now, I mean, it's not really controversial, but I mean, I get like a base salary of like $500 a month just to sit home and play video games and stream and whatnot.
Nice.
So my parents actually just tell me to go to school full time and just continue doing what I do here. And basically, you know, the $500 I get is just all like towards myself. Like I don't really got to do anything.
So you're making $500 a month, which I mean, this is the starting point here. But how often do you play this game?
I'd say I grind it about like 8+ hours a day. I would say.
Yeah. Are you streaming it online while you're playing it, or are you just playing it?
No, I stream it online. Like most of the times when I do like my grinding sessions or whatnot, I'll stream it on Twitch or whatnot.
Is grinding a term that video game people use, or like are you doing like I'm on my grind? A term that's been around for many years.
I think I'm on my grind has been a term since like I was in high school.
but when you say like when I'm grinding. It's not like, you know, other video gamers that are getting paid. Is that what they're calling it to?
It's a great question, actually. I mean, I guess grinding would just mean, like, people that are just, like, trying to get better at the game and, like, make sure that they have everything down packed, I'd say.
When you live stream, is it one of those, like, is it like a Twitch thing?
Yeah, he said Twitch.
Is there's a camera on you, too, where you talk to people? Or are they both? Okay. How many people do you have watching you at any time?
Watching me, I at least average at least 100 to 200 people.
All right.
Easily. So I'm no ninja who gets like, you know, 50,000 plus, but I at least get an easy 100, 200 viewers a time.
So are your parents being a little tough on you saying, hey, stop this stuff, get back to school for God's sakes, Juan?
No, because the whole deal I made with them is that as long as I have good grades in school, I can basically do what I'm doing now.
Right.
I mean, they support me 100% on whatever I do. So for them to take away something that makes me happy, it's like, why would we do that to our own son?
Right. I mean, especially when he's out there grinding it.
Yeah.
Getting his grind on.
Grinding.
Well, thank you, Juan. Appreciate that. This is a weird time to be a parent because things that you would chastise or look down your nose at, you can't do it anymore. Like, if your son comes to you and he's actually good at video games and he goes, look, I'm thinking about doing this on a professional level. If it was the late 90s or the early 2000s, you would laugh in their face. Now, you see people making boatloads of money. All of a sudden, these things became real careers, like YouTube stars. It became a real thing. And it's kind of actually going through a downturn right now.
I think it's too much.
There's a lot out there, and they're making a lot less money. Some of the people who are on Tom.
Do you think that someone can make a career of playing video games very poorly, but it's entertaining to
Probably.
Watch?
Yes. Yes. If you were playing a video game that people were interested in, like I saw a live stream one time of somebody playing a SpongeBob SquarePants horror video game.
What?
Not horror, but horror video game. And it was, they weren't very good at it. But it was fun to watch, and there was a ton of other people watching. So as long as you play the right game, and it's funny content, I think it'd be good to go. I think it'll work for you. Let's go to some of these dispatches, see what's on your mind. Here is Rob with a dispatch.
So it appears that we've got some people out there with extra time on their hands, solving all kinds of world problems.
holding debates about whether somebody sang Laurel or Yanny. There's only one thing that leads to that much time on your hands, which is good news, because it appears that the medicinal cocaine is a movement that is starting to take hold.
He's really pushing that forward.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck, Rob. Medicinal marijuana, that's working. It's happening right now in the United States. The medicinal cocaine movement is lagging behind. I've heard zero politicians talking about this. There does not seem to be a lot of great medical uses for cocaine.
Well, it's used as an oral anesthetic.
Yeah, I guess. It used to be much more common, even in sodas and stuff. So maybe they just got some work to do to get that back into just normal everyday use. Here's Jameson with a dispatch.
Hey, junkies.
Hey.
Laurel.
Get past it.
Yanni.
No.
Laurel.
I have to move on because otherwise everybody's just going to be talking about that all week long.
Laurel.
Is it Laurel or Yanni? And we'll just go round and round and round. Here's Jim Jam and Grabby.
C-Lane, those aren't alphabets. Those are Cheerios. Come on, man.
The reverberation of your alphabet soup joke from earlier. Still,
that I completely ripped off of Family Guy.
Still making waves out there. Here's Amy.
Hey, news junkies. I am just responding to the guy in Ormond Beach. Well, that's pretty good to know because I'm over here in Daytona and I'm on my way to Ormond right now. I'll be looking for you. Thank you.
Oh, this is somebody saying, look, nobody's taking my magnet. Amy's on the lookout. We'll go over to What a Wave with a dispatch.
I'm going to make a news junkie bumper sticker that looks exactly like a magnet, and I'm going to count how many people try to peel it off my car. Wiggle, wiggle. I can't remember what comes next.
Don't worry about it. Just wiggle, wiggle. There is a bunch of those out there. People have definitely done that, and there's been people who have glued these things to their bumper stickers, have done all kinds of things that I would not recommend doing. Just play Game of Magnets and be safe about it. Here's Jess Lee.
You know how you make bad decisions in life?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you
Never
one of my
it.
Bad decisions. Saying Bacalnick on live trivia.
Oh.
Have a good day.
We all make mistakes. You'll get them next time. It wasn't that bad. Let's go over
to... It was that bad, Jessica.
She didn't win. Let's go over to Will. Go ahead, Will.
What's happening, man?
Hey.
News junkies. I was watching on TNT, and Shaq has an e-games league, and it's like they have play-by-play announcers.
That's right, yeah.
And everything. It's insane.
So
he paid for, like, Mario Kart and all these other Dungeons & Dragons-type games.
He has
amazing.
He has a whole league or just one of the teams?
Yeah, he's one of the sponsors of a league. It's on TNT or TBS. It's all over YouTube and everything.
This is one of those things that older people just do not understand at all. They just don't get this. And I'll be honest with you, when I first heard esports, I was like, oh my God. Now it's a sport to play video games, esports. And then I saw this build and build and become more and more real. They had the Call of Duty tournament at the damn Amway Center, for God's sake.
Yep.
There's people who gather around to watch this. It's a major event with millions of dollars in prizes. It's wild how successful all that stuff has become. So it becomes harder and harder to dismiss for that very reason. Let's do jury duty.
Court is now in session, so put your phone down and pay attention before we call the bailiff over to whip your ass. You're now on jury duty with the News Junkie.
Jury duty brought to you by the DeWitt Law Firm, DeWittLaw.com. That's the website. That's how you find out what Moses DeWitt and the DeWitt Law Firm are all about. Trust me, look, when I have a legal issue, this is where I go. I bring my problems over to Moses, lump it on him, and he helps out with the issues I face. And he wants to help you out as well. And if you've been in an accident, you need to make sure you choose a lawyer that is going to give your case the time that it deserves. That attorney is the DeWitt Law Firm and Moses DeWitt. DeWittLaw.com, 1-800-DeWittLaw is the phone number, 1-800-DeWittLaw, and ask, A-S-K, at DeWittLaw.com. Now, I said at the start of the show, for the first time ever in the history of this show, forgot every single story that I prepped and printed out for the show. So, what's going on with you guys?
Oh, yeah, no jury duty today?
Everything cool?
Yeah. Everything's been pretty good. Yeah. Biscuit Babe's got bronchitis.
That's not good.
Nope. So, I guess I have
out.
It.
We are all hanging out last night.
You have bronchitis.
Oh, God.
And I have
bronchitis.
Yes.
So she's okay? Did she find out today?
She found out today, and I'm going to go, you know, do a lot of kissing so I can get some days off.
Just, all right. Leave that here. I actually have stories. I was just messing around. But the one story.
Okay, maybe you could have said that before I got into the personal bronchitis.
I didn't know you were going to take it to the level of you were going to go swap spit and try to get it yourself. I wasn't expecting that necessarily.
Sean.
Let me go to this story. There is a huge, huge scandal all about a man named Larry Nassar, who is a monster of a human being, who allegedly, I think he's convicted of it now, sexually abused 300 people. This is the gymnast guy.
Oh, yes.
He was the doctor for the USA gymnastics team. And for years and years and years and years, this guy was abusing these young girls. And there is a settlement in the case. And the 300 people who were involved in all of this got a verdict of $500 million. Michigan State University has to pay $500 million for knowingly continuing on after there were various reports of Larry Nassar abusing these young girls. And so that is a huge verdict in that case that they're dealing with now. Uber and Lyft, as a response to a bunch of complaints, have finally changed their policies on sexual harassment. Now, how weird is this? When you sign up for Uber or any of the other rideshare companies, there's actually something you agree to while installing the app and getting everything ready that says you will not sue them in a court of law. You will settle whatever case that you have against Uber or Lyft in arbitration, meaning that you would just go into a negotiation with them and discuss this stuff. And there was a bunch of women, like 14 women, that said they'd been sexually victimized by their Uber drivers. And then it came the bombshell that there was nothing they could do. They had to go through arbitration. And finally, the response to this has been that Uber and Lyft have followed the lead of some other companies that have decided to lift this requirement for arbitration and gone back on things. So the non-public nature of arbitration, this is their statement on it, does not only benefit an employer, but on some occasions also the claimant. There were situations where claimants prefer to pursue their sexual harassment claims in arbitration instead of a potentially public trial. For that reason, the proposed legislation seems short-sighted and not designed to help all intended people. This is an attorney that was speaking on the matter, but they have now stopped that and open themselves up to some kind of civil suit. But in the meantime, pleased a bunch of users who were pretty upset with that. Back in just a moment with two stories out of China, one that is really, really bizarre, and the other one that will leave you scratching your head. That's up next, plus more of your dispatches. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Your next chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1. From Real Radio. Because you're never too old to learn something stupid. This is the News Junkie.
I got news for you.
Some more of your dispatches in just a moment. Plus, well, you know, whenever on this show there are two or more stories that are very similar, it becomes this week in whatever. So this week in China in just a moment here. But I do want to point this out. I hate how this stuff keeps happening. I hate other stories like this. And it's like you can't have nice things because there's always going to be some idiots who try to create a fuss out of absolutely nothing. And there is a video, all of them have sort of the same trajectory. Like, video comes out, it's posted on some social media platform, I don't know, maybe YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, y'all see this, whatever one. It's posted up there, people enjoy it, and it starts to catch fire. people start sharing it everywhere. They're emailing it, posting it. And right around then, when everybody's happy about it, and most normal people are, oh, this is great. What a sweet little moment. That's when the turn happens. And three or four idiots will go, wait, I don't like this. This part about it is unacceptable. Why are you guys celebrating this? The naysayers. And then everything comes crashing down. And then usually the crowd of folks who appreciate whatever it is bat away the idiots and we continue on. In this case, it's a story about a graduation. And this young woman is graduating from school. She's got on her cap and gown. She looks fantastic. Family goes inside. They celebrate the graduation.
You did it, kid.
Good for you. You worked hard. You made it through school.
We love you, and we're only in a little bit of debt.
Here you are. And so as that moment was taking place, the family enjoyed it. And then outside the venue where the graduation was happening, she got another surprise. And here's how that played out.
Can I just say something real quick?
Yeah, yeah.
It's her boyfriend.
I was just so proud of my gorgeous, intelligent girlfriend, man. She put so much work in, long nights of studying and working hard. So it's so beautiful to see you make it to this moment. You
know, nice.
So I also want to say we've been dating for 6 years. And through all my trials and tribulations, she's always been with me. So I just want to give her a special graduation gift. And I've been holding on to you for a second.
What's that? You know? A special graduation gift.
Let's go!
And he gets on one knee. And he proposes. She immediately says yes.
Aw, congratulations.
She's excited and she's thrilled with it. And then everybody likes it. Oh, that's such a great little moment that you've captured there. And everybody shares it. And then the idiots come along. And the idea that's being argued here is that this was taking away from her moment. That this guy did this was a bad thing because this was supposed to be about her and he had to step up and make it about him.
It's still about her.
It's still about her. She got to do the whole graduation thing and then this was just taking it to the next level. They had been dating for 6 years.
Jeez.
Been together for a while and he pommed the question and she was so excited about it. All this did was take her awesome day and make it more awesome.
Comments like that is what they are doing. They are taking away from a double special moment that they wanted to share with the world and ruining it.
Yeah, so you come in and you go, yeah, this isn't great. All right, I mean, just if you don't like it, just don't watch the video. No. What's happening here is a negative thing. Man, that's a tough life to live.
People just love trolling. I would love to see a study done, you know, where they put the wires all over you and see, you know, how your brain is stimulated when you're a troll.
Uh-huh.
When you're that person who truly does comment on everything with a negative twist.
Well, I think it's a level of excitement, I think, that people get out of that stuff. And to generate a reaction is the goal in a lot of cases. You know, I mean, I don't even know, especially with all of these like offended stories, like I'm offended by this and this. I don't even know sometimes if the person who starts the backlash was really upset to begin with. I think sometimes they just want to say something and then get a reaction.
Yeah. But on top of it, we have, as humans of 2018 or the last 5 years with social media, have gotten this like almost instinctual reaction to read someone getting offended by something, which if it's that case, just to write something, they
uh-huh.
feel like they immediately have to defend it.
Right.
Therefore,
yeah.
They're offended by the person who was offended originally.
Well,
it's just a vicious cycle.
I think it goes back to like a really simple human emotion. And negativity makes you respond. It's just how it works. Like, think about if you got 100 compliments today. If you left this building and people were like, this is great, you're great, and gave you a whole bunch of compliments, and one person said something negative, which one do you remember?
The negative.
You remember that one negative thing? It's like a simple human reaction to this stuff.
Be nice.
And, yeah, there should be more of that going around. Maybe these stories are nice. Right here, it's time for This Week in China, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay.
There's a lot of people in China.
Okay, sure. Welcome to This Week in China.
A lot of stuff happens over there. And there was a family that said, we are having a great time being a family, but we can take it to the next level. And we can not have a kid, but maybe a layer underneath. Let's get ourselves a puppy.
Hmm.
And that's what they did. Soo Yun got a puppy. And it was this adorable little dog. And she said, the only thing that was shocking to me was how much the dog ate. This dog has a voracious appetite, just nonstop with the eating and eating. And when she says about how much the dog ate, this is a weird word for world for dogs over in China, I guess, because said the dog ate a box of fruits and two buckets of noodles every day. They feed their dogs noodles over there? I guess that's what they do. There was, it turns out, a reason for the appetite of this little puppy that they had, because the dog was growing and growing and growing and growing. And 2 years have gone by, and the dog has now grown into a 250-pound bear. Not a
dog.
No
effing way.
They didn't know that the dog was a bear.
Ha ha, fool you.
How far do you get down the line before you're kind of stupid for not knowing the dog's a bear?
I don't know. There are some There are some dogs out there that look like bears.
It has a bear snout, though. Like, it has a...
Yeah, but that's kind of like... Look, right now, dog that looks like bear, Google image, and I promise you...
Did they not wonder why their dog has never barked?
Yeah. Their dog growling and making all kinds of noises.
Have they ever wondered why their dog just sits and eats a pot of honey?
All right, What is this? Is like a Shiba Inu? What is that thing? Whatever that kind of animal is. Those kind of look like bears a little
bit.
Those do. But this, the bear that they had, it just looks like a straight up bear. And a year goes by.
Shiba Inu looks more like a fox than a bear.
Does it? Am I thinking of the wrong animal? Because there's one that you see over and over that kind of has like a little bear muzzle on it. Like the nose of the animal looks like a bear.
Oh my God, I want a bear puppy now.
This is what they ended up with. The animal has now been taken into care at the Yunnan Wildlife Rescue Center after the family got in touch requesting help. Footage by officials shows it stands about a meter tall. Staff were so intimidated by the animal, which had lived in the family home, they sedated it before transportation. It is an Asiatic black bear, which eventually gets to thousands and thousands of pounds, or maybe over 1,000 pounds when it's totally grown. They bought it thinking it was a Tibetan Mastiff. Now let's take a look at this.
All right.
Tibetan Mastiff. I know Mastiffs are big dogs. Bull Mastiffs are big dogs.
Mastiff. That looks bearish.
Yeah.
So we can't blame them totally?
Yeah, I mean, you have to blame them after like 6 months. Because that dog just grew up way too fast.
Yeah, but, okay, I will not blame them if all of a sudden, yes, they realize it's a bear, but it's so cute.
I mean, it's
after
adorable.
After 6 months, I mean, after probably 24 hours, they have fallen in love with it. It's part of the family. You keep the bear.
Our good pal, old Jim Colbert, has a rather large dog.
Yeah, is it a bear
size? It's not a bear?
It's not. I mean, I don't know. But I'm saying, I think it might be one of those breeds that you could think... You know, maybe that's what they were aiming for.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I get it. That breed does look kind of like a little bear, but after a couple of months go by, you kind of notice that stuff.
Tibetan Mastiff, some of these look like lions.
The big giant claws would be one of the dead giveaways. And the final story in This Week in China.
Okay, show them more China stories.
That's right. U.S. retailer Gap is apologizing after selling a T-shirt, which it said had an incorrect map of China. It said it would implement rigorous reviews to prevent a repeat mistake of this. Now, this sign that had the photo on it was of a T-shirt, and the T-shirt had China on it, and China was missing some rather large pieces.
Oh, Gap, China don't look like that.
Tibet, South Tibet was completely gone. Taiwan, the disputed area of Taiwan, was gone. The South China Sea.
Taiwan.
Just completely gone, omitted from the map. A user said the photo of the T-shirt was taken at an outlet store in Canada.
South China, no see.
And Gap got scared as hell because China got pissed off about this.
Mm-hmm.
So Gap says, Gap respects the sovereignty and territorial integrity of China. We've learned that a Gap brand T-shirt sold in some overseas markets failed to reflect the correct map of China. We sincerely apologize for this unintentional error.
Oh, no.
It was the statement posted on their Weibo account as of Monday of this week. So they're so sorry about screwing that up, China. They'll get the map right next time. Let's talk to Right Side Scott. Go ahead, Right Side Scott.
Hello, guys. Sean, News Junkies. How are you guys doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I just want to make a comment about the young lady that proposed to on her prom.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's the lady that got proposed to engaged at her prom. I mean, that's kind of nice, but at the same time, and the woman just graduated high school, her life's about to start, you know, and I wonder if he's just trying to grasp onto her. Scared she's going to go off. Somebody maybe.
So what? They've been together for 6 years. What's wrong with him proposing to?
No, there's nothing wrong with it. It's kind of odd. You know, it just seems a little odd.
He's saying that the guy's trying to lock that down.
Yeah, but probably is. It's like you with your nurse that you tell us so much about. Yeah. How are things going with her right side, Scott?
We're doing well. We had a little fallout, but we're back.
Oh, a little fallout.
Oh, what was the drama?
Oh, nothing. She used the hookup. And I was trying to get her to hook me up with something, and I texted.
Hook you up with what?
Many expos. She was a little aggravated because she's busy, okay. And I just bothered her, so she told me that's
why. Oh, yeah. I'm losing
hook
a little bit.
Hook you up with what?
Yeah, what's your hookup for?
My smoke.
So, marijuana?
Yeah.
Yeah. How have you smoked any joints today, right side Scott?
No, actually, I haven't had any in a couple of days.
Oh, my God.
Is ceiling can help you out.
Your bone dry?
It's dry. I've been going through hell. I mean, it's for me. It's like medication for my mind. Keep my mind in a better state of mind. Otherwise, I'm miserable and I hate
you need
life.
To apply for your medical card.
Yeah, you can get it delivered to your house.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get that. I'm trying to get that taken care of.
Yeah, you go on a website, and they tell you what doctor to go to. You get a card, and they deliver it right to you.
Oh, I need to look at that. I need that.
If you're not smoking weed in the garage while you listen to the news, Junkie, what are you doing? Just sitting there?
Oh, cigarettes.
Just smoking? Do you just chain smoke just one after another?
Pretty much, yes. I do. I'm really bad about it.
How many packs a day?
Two
packs?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
love
bad.
That rapper.
Yeah, just right through those. That's
listen,
not good for you.
Right, Ted Scott, if you are going to sit there and smoke cigarettes, I mean, I don't want to be, I don't want to sound like an asshole, but... But you shouldn't get the answers to these questions by calling a radio station. Mm-hmm. I mean, you should, you know, really look into the medical marijuana. People voted. People went out. They made sure they gave you the option
this. I got a script for once, and my information was sent to government.
You just said, I'm going to look into that.
Of course, I didn't have a license or a photo ID, so they wouldn't give me my license at the time.
So did you apologize for all those texts that you sent to your nurse?
Yeah, I called her. We're good now. She should be here Friday.
All right. Everything's good.
Well, don't ask her for weed again.
Yeah.
Well, she's bringing me some Friday.
Be honest with me, right side Scott. How many times do you text her?
Well, she said I texted 20 times, but I don't know. I don't keep counting. I think what happens a lot of times, I'll send her text.
Stage 5 clinger.
I look at my messages, and I still have a text in my stat, in my trash, and I think, well, maybe I didn't send it. It didn't go.
Oh, she's married.
You texted and then trashed it?
I'm sorry?
She's married, isn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm happy with it. Yes, she's married, and I respect that for her.
No, you don't.
There ain't nothing like that going on. But.
I love how you said, I respect that. She's married, I respect. No, you don't. At the drop of a hat.
Thank you for calling.
You would just do whatever you possibly could, but she doesn't seem interested, so you don't do anything. All right, there you go. Thanks, right side Scott. Hope everything goes well. Back in a moment, it's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Hear it here first. Then everyone else will catch up in a week, or two, or four. You're listening to the News Junkie. You can't stop playing your kids, so run away.
Damn. It's a crazy story about a guy named John Bunn, who was just released. He was exonerated of crimes that they convicted him of back in 1991 and left the courtroom in tears. He was wrongfully jailed at 14 years old. 14 years old. They found out a detective on the case was screwing around with the evidence to try to make him look guilty. Since 14 years old, he's been in prison for a crime he did not commit. He is now 41 years old.
Jeez.
And you just can't even imagine what that would be like.
Probably not normal.
Oh, God. And you're going to get some money, of course. You know, you're going to sue and you're going to get some money. But money does not make up for lost time. You can't get that back. I just can't even imagine. Now, of the people behind bars, the vast majority of them are guilty of the crimes they've been convicted of. And of the people that say that they did not commit those crimes, most of them are lying. But of the people who are not and were genuinely wrongly convicted of a crime, that is a horror untold. Just to imagine, like, picture yourself right now being behind bars, incarcerated at some prison, and you genuinely didn't do it. And then you're going around like everybody else. You go, look, I'm innocent. And they're going, yeah, I've got another innocent guy over
everybody
here.
Everybody says that.
Yep. Nobody believes you. And from 14, you're in there. You're a kid. You're a teenager, just barely through puberty, or maybe not even. You're 14, and then you get up into your teenage years and into your 20s. Now you're 41 years old and finally being released. So I'm glad that he got out. Just a really, really terrible situation he's been through for all those years. All of the drama is ramping up as we get ready for the royal wedding that I don't really care about that much.
I don't know. With all the hype, I kind of care a little bit.
You're going to watch this now?
I'm going to watch it with Will Ferrell and Molly Shannon.
Oh, I saw that they released a preview of that. Did you watch the preview?
No, I didn't.
I didn't see it yet, but it's just like what they did for the parade.
Yeah, and I think they're gonna be on late night tonight probably as the characters too.
Oh, these two characters that they do where they pretend to be serious about whatever they're covering.
Oh, they're funny.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I don't know. I only saw a little bit of. When they did this for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, I think.
Where people lost their minds.
I love this because it was up top on, is it on Hulu or Netflix?
Amazon.
Amazon?
Is it Amazon?
Whatever, yeah. Whatever it's on, it was up top and promoted. And you could look at it and think that it was the real coverage of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And then people would click on it and be thrown off that it was really just a comedy skit from some SNL alums. But they're going to be covering the royal wedding with about every other news outlet on planet Earth. And more of this crap. And I think the media is complicit in this. Going and finding these family members that are disconnected from Meghan Markle. And they want to get as much information about Meghan Markle as they possibly can. So they go and dig up things from half-sisters and half-brothers and people who clearly have an axe to grind, and people who, this is the biggest thing, who are so excited for the attention that is on them right now. So they can't talk enough. The dad, who was going to go to the wedding, then had some sort of a heart issue, and now is not going to the wedding, has been a central figure in this. And also, her, I think, half-sister has been talking all sorts of crap about this. And TMZ has her on. Here she is.
Meghan has made it very clear, we're being told, that she does not want you speaking, especially as she is about to get married. You're not honoring that.
If it's about my life or my father's, there's something in this country known as freedom of speech. She doesn't have a copyright on that.
Take that.
She's not going to tell
I don't know what she means there. She doesn't have a copyright on freedom of speech. She's just trying to say something.
What?
You don't have a copyright on freedom of speech.
Yep, there's no such thing.
Well, I have to do whatever I want.
But I can't speak about my own life or my father's where it's a matter of public self-defense because the media is disparaging us. I'm not going to take it. She's not qualified to suggest that I don't under any law in this country. So this is not Great Britain. I am a United States citizen. And
yeah.
That's all there is to it. She's way out of her league to tell me that I can't speak. I'm not saying anything about her, but if I'm talking about my life or my father's, she has to respect it.
I cannot believe it. I can imagine behind the scenes, the Queen, everybody, how are they taking this?
I feel bad for Meghan, and I'm sure that she is so excited to tie the knot so she doesn't deal with this family anymore.
You know what?
It's embarrassing.
We're talking just moments ago about people trying to steal the moment. That's trying to steal the moment. That's trying to steal the moment because she's about to get married, royal wedding, everybody's excited. Yeah, there's dogs or something, corgis, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on with the whole royal wedding. And when this is happening, she, this sister, this half-sister, and the other family members are trying to take the moment away by making it about all kinds of other dramatic, stupid things. From the half-brother writing, like, hey, don't marry her. It's the worst mistake of your life.
I mean, obviously, some media outlet is going to pick it up. Mm-hmm. There's no way that we could say, you know, enough is enough.
Yeah.
You would hope that, but TMZ will always be there to get the gossip. But it's just like, it is annoying. If people were just said, no, we're not interested in interviewing you, you crazy people.
And all they think is
fine.
Royal wedding. This is attached to it. This is going to be a big deal. An awkward moment on a local television news broadcast. This one was Down Under in Australia, and they have a program there where they feature all sorts of local news stories. I don't know exactly where this is based out of. I think it might be based out of Sydney. And they're doing their little banter back and forth. And there was a line dropped by one of the anchors. It's like a male-female anchor team. They're talking back and forth to a reporter. And she drops the line, and everybody just kind of freezes in place. And they go, I cannot believe she just said that. Here is the moment that is a lot of people talking today.
I mean, the merch on the ground here is unbelievable. Like, you guys haven't actually told me what you want yet.
I'll have a tea
towel. I've already picked yours, Carrie, actually.
Oh, what's mine?
No, I'm getting you that fabulous one-piece swimsuit with Harry and his beard.
Yeah, that'll be the first time I've had hair there in a while.
The guy next to her goes, oh, his eyes bulge out of his head like a cartoon.
Did she say Harry and his beard?
They were talking about a bathing suit that has one of the other guys at the news network, his face on it. And she goes, oh, I was thinking about getting you that bathing suit as a present. And her response was, that'll be the first time I've had hair down there in a while. And everybody's just like, freezing, and they don't know exactly what to do with it.
The merch on the ground here is unbelievable. Like, you guys haven't actually told me what you want yet.
I'll have a tea towel.
I've already picked yours, Carrie, actually.
Oh, what's mine?
No, I'm getting you that fabulous one-piece swimsuit with Harry and his beard.
Yes.
That'll be the first time I've had hair down there in a while.
Well, that's amazing.
Nice.
The guy just freezes and his eyes go, and he's like, oh, okay. I didn't know she was going to say that. Very quickly, North Korea, some news to keep you abreast of. Now, there is a scheduled meeting between President Trump and the leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un. Mm-hmm. And they were all set and ready to go. And now the North Korean leader is switching things up again. He's saying, if you think this meeting is all about me just getting rid of my nukes, we'll call the meeting off. Mm-hmm. So it's the meeting off, the meeting on. The president says, if they call off the meeting, we'll respond with maximum force. I don't know what's happening anymore, but perhaps there will be a meeting between the North Korean leader, which would be a huge deal. And maybe now there's even an indication that it could be reversed and not happen. I'll keep an eye on it. When we come back, your final dispatches, stories that didn't make the cut. And today I learned to wrap everything up for a Wednesday. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
A safe haven of sorts for all of the 95 percenters. This is the News Junkie.
Final dispatches. Stories that didn't make the cut. And today I learned to wrap everything off for a Wednesday. Just a quick little note here. If you send in dispatches to the show all the time and you don't hear your dispatches on the show, one of the most common problems, it's one of these things I just shake my head at. Listen back to your dispatch, please. All right? Listen back to your dispatch. I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me or we're going to do something funny or not funny. Everybody kind of gets a shot here. That's the beauty of the News Junkie app. But when you're installing the app, it's going to ask you at some point to have access to your microphone or the first time you record a dispatch. If you go, well, no, that's creepy, I'm not going to do that. It's only while you're recording dispatches. So hit yes.
Oh, no, I listen.
If you don't hit yes, if you hit no, then all of your dispatches are just blank, empty audio files. And it's never going to make it on the show if it's a blank, empty audio file, even though they're still better than a good percentage of folks that do send in audible dispatches. So just remember that, please, if you could. If you're recording a dispatch, listen back to it, and you'll solve 90% of your problems. Let's get into this before we do these final dispatches. I was trying when reading this story this morning to figure out why in the hell this was a thing. But I don't know if either of you have seen this story about a teacher who drowned these raccoons during class.
No.
It's almost like the teacher with the turtle that was feeding the turtles some stuff. And that became a big controversy. But this time is the story, and they said that the teacher was putting these raccoons in cages and lowering them underwater and killing the raccoons.
Like ISIS torture style?
Basically. And I couldn't figure out anywhere why this was happening at school, why this guy was doing this. I've got the report here. Let's see what they actually say, because this was a weird story.
Five now to a class lesson some parents say went too far. A student says a teacher had students kill a pair of raccoons and a possum by drowning the animal.
Why?
This happened at Forest High School in Ocala. We've learned the Marion County School District and wildlife officials are now investigating.
I hope
News
so.
News 6's Vanessa Ariza is live outside the school tonight. And Vanessa, did the teacher do anything illegal in this?
So they're looking into this to see if any laws were broken or if the teacher should be fired. And I'm just scratching my head at why the hell this happened to begin with. This is Local 6 here.
Lisa, that's what authorities with the FWC are working to find out right now. In fact, earlier today, they had officers here at Forest High School to conduct their investigation. Now, we spoke with the mother of a student who took that video and was in class yesterday. She says, regardless of this investigation, she wants that teacher fired. Now, we do want to warn you, these images and short video that you're about to see are disturbing.
I don't show it.
It made me sick. It made me sick in my stomach. It was terrible. It still does make me sick at my stomach.
Yeah, that one's like super, super small. That one probably didn't do anything.
So they just put it in a cage and they drown these things, which even if you said we were going to put this animal down is not, as far as I know, the approved way to do
that. These are the images shown to this mother of a Forest High School student yesterday. She wanted to remain anonymous, but she didn't want her story to. It was yesterday when she says her son, a freshman at Forest High, was made to stand with his fellow classmates and drowned two raccoons and a possum.
Jesus.
One of the raccoons ate a chicken that they were raising. So the teacher pinned the raccoons, caught them in cages.
So the teacher trapped these nuisance raccoons and decided to kill them that way. Even if you were going to kill these animals, you shouldn't have done it in front of the students or in class.
Why is she killing the animals?
I guess because it was killing other animals that they had, so they
what
trapped it.
What kind of school is this?
There's
in the
chickens,
middle of the damn forest?
There's chickens and raccoons, and they're eating each other, and it just seems like that could be something done far, far away from the classroom.
Yeah, or maybe, you know, during your free period.
Sure.
Take
a little break.
If you have to kill animals, let's not make a show out of it.
It just seems like a really tough way to do it, too. Yeah, let's go to these final dispatches and see what's going on out there. Here is Tater Boy.
Hey, what's up, News Junkies? Yeah, you know, I play competitive video games.
Do you?
Yeah, I make a little bit of money. I make, you know, $500 a month, which translates into a whopping $3.12 an hour. You know, I put in my 8 hours a day. You know, my mom brings me my beefarino, and sometimes I get a grape soda with it, you know, and... you know, that's it, yeah. I'm a pretty hardcore gamer, you know? And, yeah, all right. Peace out.
Leave him alone. He's just getting started out there.
He forgot to say grinding.
Yeah, grinding would have really brought that to the next level. Here's Skid Brown.
What's up, guys? Sean, Sabrina, C-Lane.
Hey.
So, about the Chinese people that had the bear that
dog.
Thought it was a dog. Maybe they thought it was... one of the like bear hybrids, like the wolf hybrids. They thought
bear
it was like
hybrid?
A Asiatic black bear burdoodle or something.
I don't think that's a thing.
Wouldn't you be able to tell by the claws and no tail and the fact that they have enormous paws?
Yeah, that would have been the dead giveaway to me. And I know that dogs that are going to get big, when they're puppies, they have giant paws, big giant paws. But a dog paw is so different from a bear paw, just in terms of the size and circumference of it and just the breadth of the claw itself. All of that stuff would be just a real indicator that you weren't dealing with a puppy, but a baby bear. They went 2 years with that thing. Here's Terrence.
So another way to make money using video games would be like how the group
Rooster Teeth did the series Red vs. Blue using Halo video games to act out as characters.
Uh-huh.
Another kind of cool thing would probably be able to do a live stream via Twitch or another platform and have a another type of like sitcom using another video game platform for the characters.
All right. Those ideas are out there now. Thank you, Terrence. Let's go over to Travis in the meantime.
Good afternoon, news junkies. And for once, when I'm dispatching, I have actual news.
Uh-oh.
Out here on Tropical Trail between Merritt Island and Melbourne, and there are a few sheriffs off to the side of the road, and a police helicopter floating out over a sinking boat in the intercoastal.
Oh, no.
Between Merritt Island and Melbourne. So, there's your actual news and a dispatch. So with that, I'm out. Wigga, wigga, pop, pop.
Well, I hope the person on the boat is okay. I hope they're doing all right. When I screw up, see, and I'll, whenever I see just a flood of...
You're so paranoid. You didn't screw up anything.
I just always... Whenever there's like 10 calls right in a row at the same time, I go, something was said. I probably said it, and I probably screwed something up.
One, I mean, that it was just people calling in. One was about the teacher. One was about video games. All right. And the other was Right Side Scott.
I'm making sure everything's good, and we're on the up and up. Here's Redfish.
Would somebody please explain net neutrality?
Okay. That's a weird question to ask. Net neutrality is one of those kind of complicated things where it's like explaining Bitcoin to somebody. My good God, I've probably watched several videos, read a bunch of articles that explain exactly how Bitcoin works and how the whole thing goes. And still, it's a complicated thing to grasp. I think with net neutrality, the basic way to say it is, and he's saying this because these rules are expiring, is that you have no ability to create fast and slow lanes on the internet. A packet is a packet. So anything you do online, you just pay for access to the internet as opposed to paying for access to YouTube and access to Netflix.
Okay,
and,
now explain packet.
the data... Go, you know,
explain data.
The dog. It's the internet stuff, okay?
How many ones and twos or ones and zeros is in a packet?
We just want to make sure they can't charge us more than they already are for the data. Hopefully that works. Here's the rev.
I got my Stay Fickle shirt some time ago, hung it up in my closet, left it there, and I didn't want to wear it.
Did you hang it on your real
gay
radio banner?
But okay, this guy. Over the weekend, I put it on just to see. That was the most comfortable shirt that's in my closet.
There you go.
Is that
I
the
wore
one?
It all weekend. Now I can't find it. I think my old lady took it.
You lost her shirt?
What's that like to... Wait, before I say anything. What? Is that confirmed? Is well, that who
I
did
don't
it?
Know. I don't know.
We're still missing one.
What are you talking about?
Real radio sign.
Oh, yeah. I have no idea. Was there a rumor that the Rev was behind this? The Rev, if you were behind it...
That was a an idea that was thrown out.
It, still, if you have this thing, bring it back to the station. What was it? It was just a sign? I forgot. It was
the banner.
The stand-up banner.
Like the step and repeat thing?
Like a mini step and repeat.
The thing that doesn't belong to us.
If you stole that from one of the broadcasts, you could still bring it back. Just drop it off here at the radio station. Don't be an asshole, please.
And then go F yourself.
Here is J-Flo.
In regards to the bear story, I just want to say you're right on the mark, Buckethead. And, you know, it's amazing how long it takes people to catch on. You know, I would think that Shannon Burke would agree. And, you know, I'm sorry. I gotta get my dog out of the backyard.
There you go. Thank you.
I'm going to print out the gripe list? Or?
Yeah, we'll just get to that right after Today I Learned. We'll have a gigantic end of the show each day. Let's do Today I Learned.
The following information may make you feel smarter, but will not actually increase your IQ. So don't get cocky. Now it's time for what we call Today I Learned.
It is Today I Learned for a Wednesday, May 16th, 2018. 7 stories from around the web and around the world. Credit goes to Reddit.com and the Today I Learned section. A palate cleanser at the end of the show. And let's start things off. Here we go. Today I Learned, the lead singer of this band.
Yeah!
The
Motorhead.
Motorhead is correct. Oh. He died not too long ago. Lemmy Kilmister, who I always just remembered he had the biggest mole.
I just thought... I remember the mole. I just remember thinking that name, Kilmister.
He drank a lot. If you read stories, where they'd go around and follow him for a little while and talk about what this guy did. He'd basically just wake up and start drinking whiskey. And Lemmy Kilmister of Motorhead stole his very first bass guitar and learned how to play while on stage with his earlier band, Hawkwind.
That's a cool name.
Yeah.
The thing about this that I think is a little phony is he stole his first bass guitar. Okay, I would expect that maybe that's how he would get his first guitar. But he learned how to play while on stage. He already knew how to play guitar. So if you know how to play guitar, you don't have to learn how to play the bass guitar on stage.
You know who hates hearing that?
Bass guitar players.
Yes.
But I'm saying if you're just playing simple bass guitar, you don't have to go, oh, let me figure out this wild instrument here in front of me. Today I learned Zimbabwe, a country that is very stable economically, doing well. Celine and I are just waiting for them to punch through so that these billions of Zimbabwean dollars really truly pay off. But they were in a bad spot way back when.
How way back?
Way back, way back to like 2013. So this was a good 5 years ago. Zimbabwe's bank balance, the country, was $217.
Well, me and Zimbabwe have something in common.
At the start of 2013. If you're a human being, I can see having that issue. If you're a country with $217 in the bank, that is a pretty bad situation to be in. Today I learned about the Windsor Hum. It's a deep, rhythmic, droning sound emanating from the secret U.S. steel property in Detroit called Zug Island.
How's it secret?
It's causing migraines, nausea, and revving vibrations.
Don't
through the
tell
night.
Anybody.
Here it is. That's what it sounds like.
It's coming from the left side.
That would be annoying all the time to deal with that.
Unless it's a car accident.
And they've been trying to track down the source of it and stop that for a very long time, but the Windsor Hum continues. Today I learned Wendy's Chocolate Frosty is actually half chocolate and half vanilla.
What?
Uh-huh. I know. This is stunning news to learn. All because owner Dave Thomas thought full chocolate would be just too much chocolate. Mm. And so they put half vanilla in it. And now, you know, you're probably getting ripped off
a little bit. He also thought that it's best for the hamburger hamburger to hang over the side of the bun, because that's what people like in a Wendy's old-fashioned hamburger.
Got a lot of stuff going on. Today I learned Keith Richards of this band.
Rolling Stones.
Yeah, it could have been any of the other famous Keith Richards. It was him, though. He was the founding member of the Rolling Stones. He was quoted as saying that in his last days, he wants to be a librarian.
Aww.
That's what he liked to relax with. And finally, today I learned one of the guys from this band.
Metallica.
Metallica is correct. The father of Metallica's drummer, Lars Ulrich. His name is Torben Ulrich. And he was a professional tennis player that competed for the Danish Davis Cup team. So when he grew up, his dad was a very famous tennis player at the time. So there you go. Now you know. I just wanted to play this song on the way out. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. We're back tomorrow after the Monsters in the Morning. The Phillips Files coming up next, followed by Corporate Tom with Tom and Dan, all right here on Real Radio.